Welcome to episode 102 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's February, so it's about damn time we wrap up 2009, because before we know it, 2010 will be over. And that would be bad. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 102 of Comic Timing. And, yeah, it's getting a little easier to say those three-digit numbers as we get farther into the 100s here. And I'm joined by a man who, for the first time in a while, was on my time zone, live from San Diego. It's the co-host, not co-host, co-host, Brent Cassina. What's going on, Brent?
Hey, hey, hey.
How's that hotel treating you?
It's nice. Doubletree's nice.
Oh, you're staying at Doubletree. Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Would that be the same Doubletree that's by the convention center, or a different one?
Doubletree downtown. It's a little bit of ways, but I mean, you could walk to the convention center if you really wanted to.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, there's nothing in town, so there's no reason to. Because yet again, Brent Cassina's in San Diego when there's absolutely no Comic-Con in sight.
That's right.
And returning to the show for the first time in, how many episodes? Jesus, it's been a while. Chris Gallo, Webhead, he is back with a vengeance. What's up, Chris?
Not much, Ian. Hey, Brent, how you doing?
What's going on, Chris?
Same old, different day. Reading comics, working.
Hey, what city are you in?
San Jose. So I'm a little bit up the road from you.
Okay, so we got the whole trifecta of the West Coast here.
Man, this feels so absolutely foreign to me, you know? All recording at 10:32 p.m. at the same time zone, you know? I mean, specifically with Chris, okay? Because I'm totally used to just being able to, you know, like, record at 10, and for you it's 7, and you're sitting back here. It's like, nah, man, it's okay. I still got my whole day ahead of me. It's all good. It's all good. But no, it's late for you too, brother.
It's going to be in a rush now.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, luckily this year, we're doing this a little bit differently than we did the previous wrap-ups. We're not going to do the whole, like, totally in-depth thing that we did previously because it's February already, all right? So for us to do a complete in-depth wrap-up of 2009, we'd be behind everybody else and it wouldn't make any sense. So we'll do things a little differently this time. We're going to have about 10 questions, maybe a couple others thrown in here and there. It's basically going to be filling the blanks and then explaining just exactly why you chose this answer. We're just going to go down the list from 1 to 10, and we're also going to throw in some of our review corner picks of what we thought were our favorites, what we thought were our meh, and what we thought were our middle of the road, thereabouts. So we'll start things off with number one, because it's a good place to start. And that question would be, I can't believe I started reading and liked blank this year. And since he hasn't been here in a while, Mr. Gallo, the floor is yours.
Well, I can't believe I started reading and liked Comic Wednesday. I don't know. When I first heard the concept of this, I was thinking, really? Another weekly one? And, you know, and it was in, I don't know, it just didn't appeal to me overall. I'm like, okay, fine, you know. It's going to be for the DC people, you know. The
you mean
real
Wednesday comics,
hardcore.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, because you said Comic Wednesday, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's Brad and what are Brad and Frank doing here?
Well, yeah, Wednesday's comic. Excuse me.
There you go.
I just didn't think I was going to like it. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting idea, but I thought it was going to be more for the hardcore DC fans. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones that, you know, bleed. You know, DC. You know. But I was in my local shop, and one of the guys behind the counter says, you know, you're going to get that? And I says, I don't know. And we were talking. It was a slow day. And he, you know, shoved it in my hand, basically, and said, take a look at it, you know. And I cracked it open, and I started reading, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And before I knew it, I had all the issues. You know, I bought it off the rack, and I look forward to every one of them. So I was shocked. You know, there were some titles that I liked better than others. Mm-hmm. I love Commandy. That was a great bit in there.
Yeah.
The Flash one was another one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I think the worst one for me was the Wonder Woman. I just I just couldn't get into that.
That was
one.
So and, hard to read. Yeah. The font, mostly, that was the thing that threw me.
Yeah. I quit reading that one about six issues in, and I can't say I missed it, whatever happened to it.
Yeah. what did you think of the form factor, Chris?
I liked it. You know, like it says, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, you know, that it was great holding it in your hands. It felt like reading the old comics from, you know, Sunday morning comics and stuff like that. The little bits and pieces, you know, the each story was small, you know, and it's like it left you hungry for the next one, for the stories that you were really into, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like I said, especially really the Commandy was one, like I kept wanting to read more and more of that. I love the Flash, how they had the, like, sort of the two versions, you know, Iris version and the Barry version, sort of like a he said, she said type thing almost.
Right. That was basically two strips in one.
Yeah. And it was good. And, you know, you saw things. The Metal Men was a fun title.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl. That was just another fun. It
was silliness. That's really what it was.
Yeah, nothing too heavy, you know. Like, and I love the Green Lantern, that new frontier style.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I give it a good. I mean, was it the best comic out there ever? No, but it was good. And like I said, it surprised me because, you know, I didn't think I was gonna like it, and I was gonna pass on it, and, you know. You know, you look at them, you know, it's, what was it? I forget, $4 an issue, you know, like $4 an issue, you know, every week, you know, and then, you know, the whole paper, you know, it's going to be hard to save it and, you know, collect it. You know, all those things in my head were the excuses I was giving myself not to try it.
Right.
So kind of glad I tried it and I'm glad I really liked it.
It was a successful experiment, definitely. It's not something that I'd like DC to do, you know, multiple times a year. But I definitely would love to see another thing along the lines of Wednesday Comics to come around, say maybe, you know, a year and a half, 2 years down the road. Once we've all, you know, recovered from the brightest day and all that stuff, it might be cool to see, you know, their next take on a Wednesday Comics.
So and definitely some different characters, you know. Yeah, I can almost see, or if they wanted to do a shorter run once a year, maybe like four issues.
That'd
every
be cool.
year.
Yeah,
like 1 month, like the old annuals, like come out in July or August. You know, okay, here, you know, here's our comic. You know, Wednesday's comic. I can't want to say comic Wednesday.
because every comic fan loves Comics Wednesday. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm glad. And, you know, again, I was really shocked, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brett, did you stick with Wednesday Comics all the way through?
I did,
okay,
yeah.
All right. Did you?
I thought it was a nice change of pace to what we're used to,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I will have to say that because it was so large and it took longer to read than a normal issue, it tended to be a bottom-of-the-stack thing for me when I got it in my Heroes Corner shipments and
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there's one time I read like four or five in a row. Got just that long in the tooth there. But, you know, I enjoyed them when I read them, but they weren't a priority for me because it wasn't a, it was shorter stories and it didn't take much to retain any information from them. So.
Right. Yeah, I've still got about six of them left myself, to be completely honest. Because mostly because of the form factor, they're very hard to take with you, like on the train or you know, well, if you're going to be out of town, you know, you don't want them to get messed up, and they're just sitting there waiting to be read whenever I get back home. But I'll enjoy them when I get to them. All right, Brent, your turn. Question number one: what is your answer?
Well, I kind of did one for Marvel, one for DC. I didn't know if we were doing one for all or both.
That's
so
fine.
For DC, since they will do this Marvel and DC wrap-up, I chose both. But for DC, I read a lot of it, but I didn't try much new this year, I'll have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked Batwoman this year. I didn't know what to expect. I expected it to be an okay comic. I didn't expect it to be a great comic. I did expect the art to be great. which I was very surprised, and I think that's what really pulled me in to this book. And I don't know, it just surprised me how drawn into it. Surprised me how drawn into it I was. Not that I wasn't surprised it was good. I was just surprised that I liked it, you know, which I guess kind of was what the question's about.
Right.
Marvel, I had an even harder time picking this year. Because if Marvel, this year in 2009, I didn't really pick up any new titles.
Right.
You know, I let stuff end or canceled some stuff. But I picked Hulk. And I picked specifically Jeff Loeb and Ian Churchill's run on Hulk. The four issues there. Code Red storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised I started liking Hulk again. Because I've been picking it up from the beginning and just kind of let it slide on there, hoping it'd get better. And then Ian Churchill jumped on with his new funky art style, and Jeff Loeb actually started writing like Jeff Loeb again, where he was making sense and the story got interesting. And I was like, this has actually turned out to be something pretty interesting, but pretty good. So that's what I picked for Marvel.
So do you think I should read Hulk? Because I've been holding off on it, because I wasn't that big of a fan of Red Hulk when it started up in the first mm-hmm. place.
Honestly, I can't say. You got, if you listen to the most second to most recent 11 o'clock comics when Vince is talking about the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
the Hulk books, because if you were to start right now, you'd have to go back and get at least five issues. You'd have to get the Follow the Hulk's Gamma and Alpha
mm-hmm.
and like the last three issues of Follow the Hulk. So it's, yeah, five or six issues to just catch up and start reading.
Gotcha.
You got to get the Red Hulk miniseries. You got to get Incredible Hulk, and you got to get—I think that's two—and you got to get the regular Hulk book. Which so that's a weird. The regular Hulk book, it's about Red Hulk. Then there's a four-issue Red Hulk miniseries, and then there's like a Sensational She-Hulk's miniseries that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
and I think that ties in too. I didn't pick that up in my order, but I think I got to get that. It's just—it's a mess. I mean, it really is, but it's. I'm so invested in it right now, and it's starting to pick up, especially with Jeff Parker jumping on and Greg Pak actually, you know, putting their toes in it and kind of bringing out whatever Jeff Loeb had in there.
Mm-hmm. So basically, I should wait for the trade.
Yeah, I think you should. You might get more out of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I've got random spatterings of Jeff Loeb's Hulk like lying around that I haven't read yet. A couple of the Churchill mm-hmm. issues and. Couple other things, but I probably would just be best for me just to wait until specifically this Fall of the Hulks thing is collected, so I don't have to yeah. you know go like searching down dollar bin books when I have enough comics as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Cool. For me, first off, Chris, are you reading the Hulk at all?
I'm like you. I stopped after a while.
All right.
I just couldn't get into the whole Red Hulk thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pretty big Hulk fan for the longest time. I, you know, before the Peter David run, all during it, all that Mr. Green, Mr. Blue stuff,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. I was really enjoying it, and then of course we went, you know, the whole Planet Hulk. Mm-hmm. God, you know, who wasn't reading Hulk at that time?
Right.
And then suddenly, when they came back and
World War Hulk.
Just that whole, it just sort of, I don't know, just sort of lost interest. This whole Red Hulk thing was just, it just didn't sit well with me. But I guess now I'm going to have to read it with all the new stuff coming down. We got the World War Hulks we're going to have, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to get caught up somehow. So
it's definitely trade reading. So once it's out and you know that it will be out because it's Marvel and they put absolutely everything out, you could just pick it mm-hmm. up for you know 50% off or whatever.
Yeah, and go hit some dollar bins, you know. do what I can, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's the way to go.
Yeah. So
and Batwoman?
No, that okay. I'm not, I don't know. Just that's one character just didn't appeal to me at all.
Okay.
Even the what was it, 52, where we first saw her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, you know, another bat character. I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. It's like kind of like why I'm looking at the Hulk stuff right now. It's like, man, how many Hulk titles are there? You know, listen to Brent rattle them all off. I'm like, Jesus, you know, why? Whatever happened to one character, one title?
Yeah, I believe that was called 1986. I mean, really, like, yeah, I mean, like, both Marvel and DC decided that, you know, the more titles you put out, if people are going to read them, they're going to make money off of them. And that's definitely the case. I mean, with Wolverine, come on, there's like six Wolverine titles right now. It's pathetic.
I know.
Like, 82 Deadpool titles. I mean, it's more and more every month.
It's like, I can't believe people actually dare accuse Marvel and DC of flooding the market. Where I don't know where they get their idea from.
Six
Wolverines, you know. Well, that's not flooding the market. That's just giving people what they want.
Oh, exactly. Right. Rolling eyes. It's a podcast. You can't actually see me rolling my eyes, but it's happening. But actually, I don't know if Brent will agree on me on this, but Batwoman is not the typical Bat character, specifically with Greg Rucka's run. I think he's done a great job of differentiating her from the rest of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually giving her like a thorough backstory and a really cool set of villains, and continuing off of what was started in 52 with Renee, and basically she's picking up on the whole Book of Crime thing. That Renee Montoya as the Question dealt with, so now she's dealing with that group of villains again, and a lot of the characters that are introduced to that are really freaking creepy, and the art is gorgeous. You know, you cannot go wrong with J.H. Williams' art.
And then you got Jock hopping on right now, and that stuff's interesting too.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah, and they're doing a flashback to Kate's beginnings. Where you really get to see the origin of the character. So, you know, it's another book that I would definitely recommend picking up and trade if you get a chance, Chris.
Okay. Or dollar bins.
Yes, or dollar bins. For me, I'm going to do a little bit of a cop-out here because, yes, I was reading both of these books, but I'm going to go with the new creative teams that took over these books because I wasn't expecting to enjoy them based on previous expectations. Specifically, for DC, I can't believe I started reading and liked Tony Daniels' Batman this year because Battle for the Cowl didn't really work for me too well. The art was great, but the story just fell flat. You know, it felt like it was rushed. It felt like it didn't really have a real base to it, and Tony Daniel almost felt lost in exposition on that as opposed to actually telling a cohesive story. But so far, with his Batman stuff, it's been going pretty good. You know, I can't complain. Yeah, both the art and the story, he's been knocking it out. And Brent, agree or disagree? Better art than Battle for the Cowl?
I have to go back and reread Battle for the Cowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an upcoming BK's Bullets, I think. But I think it's on par.
Okay,
you know, it's a little bit.
Because I think it might even be a little bit more.
Like, doing 22 pages an issue. I think doing 22 pages an issue is better than doing 30.
Oh, definitely.
Because Battle for the Cowl issues were 30 pages an issue, so they might have suffered a little bit from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also as well, I think that might have. I think he got the short end of the stick there because he had to put in everybody's, you know, everybody's little pieces for their books.
Mm-hmm.
Into his story, which was a remnant from a Judd Winnick story or whatever it was.
Right.
Whoever came up with the original idea, you know. And then, so he kind of had to make a mess of the stew. Or he had to make a stew of the, you know, of all the ingredients. And if it came out not tasting so good and needed a little more salt, needed a little more zest to it, I mean, we can't necessarily blame that on Tony Daniel. That's more of like a, I think, of an editorial thing. But now that he's got the reins of his own book, I think he's proven everybody that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the near future.
No question, definitely. And, I mean, yeah, Battle for the Cowl was like, I'm going to make some stew, and it turned out poo. Sometimes that just happens in the world of comic books. But he's making up for it here with Batman, definitely. And, he's been writing everybody, like, on par. I mean, this is a Dick Grayson that's believable. It's a Dick Grayson that fits with what came before from Winnick's run. The Two-Face elements have been working for me. It's just overall, positive out of that. And the other thing that I'll mention, I can't believe I started reading in light, Dan Slott's Mighty Avengers. Because I came really close to dropping that in the first three issues of it. Mostly because it just it felt like it wasn't really going anywhere. It felt like it was just, you know, another Avengers book and didn't really seem to mesh with the Mighty Avengers that came before. Because, yeah, it was an entirely new team, so that's going to wind up happening. But instead, what I wound up reminding myself was that the classic Avengers had a certain appeal to them that Bendis's Avengers simply does not have. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just this was a different Avengers team, and it is a different Avengers team. This is the classic Avengers. You've got Jarvis there. You've got Jocasta. You've got Hank Pym, who is currently the Wasp. You've got U.S. Agent in the Captain America role. You know, you've got Quicksilver. You've got not Scarlet Witch. You know, having Loki as the villain again is certainly classic Mighty Avengers. And Avengers period. So this book, you know, while the art has been a little bit, you know, hit or miss depending on who has been drawing it, I think the art has the art hasn't really stopped me from reading it. So the writing has definitely been there for Dan Slott, and overall I'm incredibly satisfied with what Mighty Avengers has been doing. Anybody else reading that this year?
Oh, I am. I agree, the art's been hit or miss with me also. The only thing, I don't know, my only problem with that book was, they really are pushing Hank Pym. I mean, really trying to make him something which he was never was. I mean,
right.
You know, what is his new title now? Scientist Supreme?
Oh, no. Oh, but I love that. You know, he's told this by Eternity, you know, as an entity, tells him that you are the Scientist Supreme, you know? How many people get to have that happen in their lives? No one else, man. All right? That's pretty frickin' awesome in my book.
Yeah, and, you know, it's almost like they gave him that title, and he's really let it kind of go to his head, because you're right, though. How many people can have that title, you know?
Only him.
Yeah. You know, way Slott writes it, he does a really good job of capturing certain people's personalities. You know, mm-hmm. just nailing them. Like U.S. Agent, he does a really good job with U.S. Agent.
Definitely.
I think,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so much digging his with the whole with Jocasta and Hank.
It's a little skeevy.
Kind of creepy.
it's like having sex with your daughter.
Yeah, it's like, ugh. But and I do wish he'd kind of lighten up a little bit on his Jarvis. His Jarvis is very, very stoic. Mm-hmm. And I never got that from Jarvis when reading him. He was prim and proper, but there was always something. Something there more than that.
What about when all the Avengers were gathered together in the new Avengers mansion, the Infinite Mansion, and that smile on his face as he's serving, you know, tea to everyone because finally he's back in the groove.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but at first it seemed like he was almost very standoffish, you know, mm-hmm. like. But maybe that's because he was just. Been released from the scrolls and all that bit, you
sure.
know. You can make an argument one way or the other, but yeah, I've been reading Mighty since it first came out, and I haven't missed an issue yet. And at worst, I could say I was okay with my purchase. You know, there's been times when it's been better, but I've never like once picked up an issue and like tossed it across the room, going, "Ugh, this was horrible," you know.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Brent, what were you gonna say about it?
I've been kind of so-so on it from the beginning, and then Dan Slott came on, and the first arc didn't do much for me, but the arc with the Inhumans guy, the Untouchable or whatever his name was, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. when it finally started grabbing me. You know, I think it was like his third arc, second or third arc. It was like, okay, finally. And then now the Mighty Dark stuff, I'm really digging, and now it's gonna end. So you know, God bless him. That's all I have to say.
Well,
and, but, what do you say to that? It took me a little while to enjoy your book. Now it's ending. See you later. Sayonara.
Well, I mean, at least you wound up liking it in the end, and I mean, there will be something to replace it.
I mean, all the stuff that Chris was saying about Jarvis and stuff, I mean, I was never a classic Avengers reader. I jumped on with New Avengers number one, started reading that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff doesn't connect with me yet. So, you know, I was really digging this era of Avengers, the New Avengers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Initiative, I still love that book. So, you know.
Well, I think the heroic age is just going to be a combination of the two. You know, it's going to continue on with what Bendis was laying out, but it's just going to, you know, remind everybody that, you know, yeah, the Avengers are better now.
I hope so. I think the Secret Avengers is going to be like the Black Ops team kind of thing.
With
Luke
Brubaker.
Cage is heading up the Thunder. I thought it was going to be more akin to Thunderbolts, and then I hear Luke Cage is leading the Thunderbolts now. So it's like, okay, well. This will be interesting.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, it was on Newsarama today.
Huh. Okay, cool. I'm okay with that.
It's Crossbones, Ghost, Juggernaut, Moonstones, and Luke Cage.
Okay.
And they're leading their Thunderbolts. They have a Thunderbolts tower in the middle of the raft.
Okay.
And that's where they're based out of.
So which well, actually no, that just leads me to the question of which Juggernaut is this going to be? Is this going to be, you know, friendly Juggernaut, or is this going to be, you know, kick-ass Juggernaut again?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see. But it's kind of I'm a little surprised that that Songbird's not back on the team. You know, considering that if things are, you know, quote unquote better now, you would think that Songbird would be the first one to say. You know, I want to bring the image of the Thunderbolts back by actually, you know, having good people on it again. But you never.
Well,
know.
They're not. I mean, they got Crossbones on the team,
right?
You know,
yeah,
kind of similar to Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I guess. All right, I'll cross my fingers, I guess, and hope it turns out okay. All right, let's move on to question two here. We go from the happy to the not-so-happy. Well, glad I dropped blank. And Brent, start us off.
DC, I picked Titans for obvious reasons. after Death Trap, and I started doing the single issues, focusing on characters, I just went, fuck you. And Marvel, I looked at my order summary from Heroes Corner this year, I didn't drop any Marvel titles. So I'm consistently reading the same things from 2008 into 2010, so nothing to answer for that there. But yeah, Titans, self-explanatory.
Okay. All right. I mean, you mentioned Titans. The only exception to that would be the most recent J.T. Krull issues that came out, The Tide of the Blackest Night. Those were really good.
Of Teen Titans?
Of Titans. Titans, regular Titans. The last two
I
issues.
Didn't read those.
Yeah, the last two issues that came out were written by J.T. Krull, and they focused on I'm trying to remember who.
See,
I heard
Sean on Jim talking about those, and I thought they were talking about the Teen Titans issues with Ravager and Deathstroke.
Wait, were those those weren't regular Titans? That was just no.
That was Teen Titans.
Okay. What the hell?
Ravager and Deathstroke, and Deathstroke's other three kids.
You're right. You're
back.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Blackest Night Titans, which was you know.
Yeah. J.T. Krull wrote Blackest Night Titans. I like that. That was excellent.
Yeah, but that wasn't the main title. Okay, I gotcha. All right. Well, mine. I'm going to actually think a little bit farther on Marvel, but DC. It's a pretty simple answer for me. I am so happy I dropped Doom Patrol. Oh,
you got more than that one issue,
man. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me, because I had like four issues pre-ordered before I stopped, and I could. Barely get through that fourth issue, and I mean, that was a Blackest Night tie-in, but I cared nothing about it. I mean, nothing whatsoever about the issue. It was just, I mean, the characters fall short, the art was meh, which says something, because that's Matthew Clark arc, and he's usually good for me. And I mean, the backup, I mean, I've said it before and I've said it again, if it was a Metal Men issue with a backup of Doom Patrol, I'd be able to read it every month. But Metal Men was barely, you know, like 10 pages and is already leaving the book. So there's absolutely no reason for me to continue it and just, no, thank you. I'm done. I'm done. Pass. Never again. Never fucking again. It's just that bad. Chris, I hope you didn't subject yourself to any Doom Patrol, okay? Please.
No, 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 no.
Lucky you, sir. All right.
I saw the handwriting on the wall for that one, and I stayed away.
And I'm still trying to think of a Marvel, and I think I might actually be in the same boat as you here, Brent. I don't think I actually dropped anything this year. I was going to drop Secret Warriors, but then I wound up liking it again, so that didn't happen. Damn it, I'm trying to think if there's anything at all. Yeah, you know, I guess the one thing that I can think of is, and I haven't technically like officially dropped it yet, but I think I'm going to. And that would be the new Ultimate Avengers, because even though it's Miller and Pacheco, it's not really that interesting to me right now. The first couple of issues just been there. So, I mean, they're $3.99, and if I'm not enjoying them, then I'm just going to, you know, wind up just getting rid of it. So I guess that's what I'll wind up saying.
Miller, he takes a while to kind of get going, it feels like, for me.
Well, yeah, but if he takes a while to get going at $3.99, then
Man Logan didn't really pick up till really towards the end there.
Right.
Felt like...
No, you're right, you're right.
But I read the third issue of that Ultimate Avengers,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is, you know, pretty interesting, but I agree, if that's the third issue and that's all that's going on, I mean, fuck, I'd be in the same boat as you, man.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really gotta cut down on some of my books, man. I mean, I've been saying that for months and months and months, but I really gotta fucking cut down. And yeah, $3.99 books are gonna be the first to go. And if that one's just, you know, it's not catching enough of my interest to really keep me going.
That's the other thing with the Hulk books. Most of them are $3.99. Because Incredible Hulk has got Savage She-Hulk backup, which I didn't get at all. I'm not familiar with her, but apparently she's on one of them teams. The Hulk books.
Savage She-Hulk, I think, is from, like, the future or something.
She's, like, from an alternate dimension in the future or something like that.
Yeah.
Bruce Banner's daughter.
Yeah, not good enough, Marvel.
She's, like, the Hulk's daughter, something like that.
I think she's, like, the daughter of like, Thundra and the Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, okay. All right. I'm glad I'm not the only one who, you know, doesn't know what the fuck's going on there.
And I'm still like, who's Thundra?
Well,
I don't know who she was, but she showed up in Code Red.
Thundra's basically just like, hey, you see that woman who could be Wonder Woman? Yeah, that's her.
She's just not from any particular thing. She's just kind of there.
From another dimension, is it? I think it was.
Another originally. One?
Yeah, she basically came from I don't want to say the word Amazon, but a very feminine, female-dominated world, and she was the strongest, and she was basically a man-hater at first, when she first came out.
Strongest there is.
Okay, Thundra is a warrior woman. Thundra is a warrior woman and time traveler from an alternate future 23rd century.
Oh,
in the future society she hails from, planet Earth is now known as Femazonia and is ruled by Amazon-like female overlords called Femazons.
Who created her?
And they got little magic lassos and bracelets. And
yeah, right. No, they're created by Roy Thomas and Jerry Conway.
Thanks, guys.
Right,
moving
boy.
On.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Chris. Chris.
Well, I came close to dropping a Marvel title, and I'm still kind of like on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And this tells you something. I'm close to dropping Ultimate Spider-Man.
Really?
I'm just not digging this new stuff.
Huh.
I mean. The artwork is okay. The story's sort of just been, you know, and again, it's that you know, it's like everybody else. We're all looking to cut back a little bit here and there. And I've been buying it out of habit, I guess is the best way of saying it, which is the worst thing you could do.
Right.
And I'm just not enjoying it. It's, and so I'm ready to pull the plug on that one.
Huh.
But I did drop for DC JSA.
Ooh.
Like I said, I enjoyed, Jeff Johns run on it, like pretty much everybody else in the free world. It was just, it just something, I don't know. It just feels different and
they're all angry.
Yeah. And just, I don't know. I just, you know, I says, you know, like anything else, you just got to bite the bullet sometimes and, you know, pull the plug on things. And, you know, if I'm really ready to pull the plug on Ultimate Spider-Man, that tells you I'll pull the plug on almost anything now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny that you mention Ultimate Spider-Man because I almost dropped it, but that was because of the $3.99 tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Because price tag, that is. Because with issue one, I was like, all right, I'll pick it up, and if I hate it, it's gone. And I loved it. And then issue two came out, and I was like, God damn you. And then issue three came out, and I'm like, you guys suck. Because I didn't even pre-order issue three. I picked it up in the shop, and now I'm back interested in Ultimate Spider-Man, and I hate them for making me interested in it. Yeah, that's kind of exactly how I'm feeling here, Brent, because it's like, damn it.
So you're missing the Bagley art? Cause
I definitely am missing the Bagley art.
I love Bagley, and I hear people bashing him, like on, well, I know Brian doesn't really like him on CGS and stuff, but there's some other guy, some other show I was listening to, and they're bashing Bagley. I was like, how the fuck can you bash a guy who gets his books out on time?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
He may not be to your taste, but how can you just go, I don't like Bagley? He gets his books out on time no matter what.
Well, please, there are people who bash on Eagle Sham's Fantastic Four, and I'm like, are we reading the same book?
Oh, I know. Don't get me started on that. I love that. I mean, I know people complained his read is too muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Says, hello, go read Perez's run on the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. You'll see a Reed Richards that buffed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If it's Reed Richards, he can find a way to work out while working his mind or find a way to buff himself out without having to take the time to work out. What's the problem?
Remember, he's got a young wife. He's got to keep her happy.
Mrs. Fantastic, please, you know. I'm sure he may be able to stretch his dick out to weird proportions, whatever she wants. She wants this fucking Asian man one night or a black man the next. But, I mean, still got to have something else to show her.
Yeah, or else she'll go crawling over to Namor.
From Wrath to somebody else to, you know, pay digs. You know what I mean? That's not going to please your wife.
Holy shit, man.
I heard what Raph said on that fucking... What was it? I heard what he said.
What, 99.5?
No, the crossover.
Oh,
no,
the crossover.
His episode 71.
Yeah, that one.
So, take that, man. Take that. Don't you think I didn't listen to it?
Yeah. Watch what you're saying there, Raph.
I don't know.
Well, chances are it'll be released as a 0.5 episode, but I recorded a half hour on the Absolute Justice with Raph, so you'll have to sit through that.
Okay.
But yeah, so all right, so you dropped JSA. Did you drop JSA All Stars as well, or did you not even bother?
I never got it. Yeah, I'm not even getting any JSA right now at all.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's sad because it was so good for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and now, oh, well, you know.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm giving them a couple more issues to really hit it off for me. But
yeah, I'm kind of doing the same thing. After listening to what we said on the review corner last week,
mm-hmm.
And thinking more about it, I'm kind of going to put that on the chopping block real quick. Because mm-hmm. there's two books that I can easily get rid of, I think.
Right, yeah.
I'm not enjoying them that much. I don't need to be getting them. Because I was only getting them, and I only jumped on for Justice Society of America because of Jeff Johns and Eaglesham. Mm-hmm. And because I heard a lot about a lot of good things about Geoff Johns previously.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, that Geoff Johns guy is all right.
Yeah, he knows a few things here. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Blank is my surprise new title of 2009, and anybody who has been, you know, listening to us for a while probably would know what I'm going to go with here. And it's not a Marvel, it's not a DC, it is an Image title, and that would be Chew. Because, yeah, Brent may not like it, but fuck you, I love it.
That may be just because I only read the last issue of the story arc.
Yeah, that could be it. But, that could be it.
But judging on what the CGS guys said on their Book of the Month Club, I don't know if I would change my opinion if I read the whole thing. I don't know.
Well, you should give it a shot one of these days.
Last issue didn't grab me. I will give it a shot. If I see it in Barnes & Noble and trade, I'll read it there.
Good. All right.
I may not pick it up for myself.
But yeah, it's one of the most creative and inventive titles that I've read in quite some time. And it's just genuine fun for me, so that's why I'm going to choose Chew for that. If we're talking Marvel and DC here, best new title for out of DC without a shadow of a doubt is Rebels, because that is giving me a renewed appreciation for space titles in DC, because I never really had that big of a space love in the first place, and this is definitely getting me into there. And for Marvel, best new title. Obviously is going to be Sword, because yeah, it's a great title that's going to last a really, really long time. Although wait, isn't that technically 2010? All right, fine. I'll choose something else. But yeah. I guess my surprise new title of 2009. Other than that, would probably have to be. Wait, how long has Cable been around?
24 issues, more than
shit,
2009.
Damn it. X-Force has been around longer than that, too, right? Damn it.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. What the fuck am I going to pick, then? I had it planned out in my head, and then it just all fell out all of a sudden. Then you know what? I'm just gonna go with go along with the whole you know, space title thing. And just go with the entire collection of Realm of Kings books that have been coming out so far. I'll consider that to be one title, because all the miniseries that have been coming out in that so far have just been continuing the success rate that Abnett and Lanning have had in space in Marvel. So that's definitely going to be that. Realm of Kings combined. Okay, Chris.
For me, my surprise title for 2009 was Incorruptible. You know, Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard it, I thought, okay, I've heard this, you know, before. It didn't sound like it was going to be that interesting. I thought, okay, I'll pick it up. I'll probably enjoy it, you know. No big deal. I'm really, you know, it reminded me how much I like Mark Waid's writing, you know, and I was like, it's moved to the top of my stack. When it comes out, it's right there on top. So usually it takes a lot for a non-Marvel DC comic to be on the top of my stack.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, I didn't have anything against it. I thought, okay, yeah. I just, as I started reading it, I really got into it. I really liked what he was doing and how he was taking the character and how we were getting the story in bits and pieces. So that was my surprise for 2009, and it's a good surprise.
Yeah, that's exactly what Chew is for me, by the way. I mean, that's one of the few non-Marvel and DC titles that I'll immediately read when I get it. So I feel you on that. You got any Marvel or DCs you want to throw in there, or is that all you got?
I picked up other ones, but nothing that's really surprised me like that.
Okay.
You know,
it happens.
So
yeah,
it's okay. I forgive you.
Thank you.
All right, Brent.
All right. This one and number one, I kind of had a problem differentiating between. because I started reading Blank, and then surprise new title, Blank, kind of run together for me. I don't know. This one for DC, I picked Batwoman and Brave and the Bold. Batwoman I already talked about, but Brave and the Bold, specifically with JMS and Jesus Saez jumping on. Oh my gosh, that has been good. I just read the Joker and Adam issue. Wow, that was good stuff.
I'll have to pick that up eventually.
Yeah, they're back to what Brave and the Bold was with Mark Waid, minus the interconnecting storyline. One and done's, really don't have to know anything. Batman and the 60s Creeper, not Creeper, Power Dude or whatever. He's some weird looking hippie.
Yes, let's go with Power Dude. That is officially his name now.
No, I forget what, a zombie of power or something like that.
Okay.
I didn't know who he was. He's like a minor character, but he seemed pretty cool when JMS wrote him. So he did a cool thing.
All right.
So that's what I picked.
Is it Brother Power?
Brother Power. That's it. Okay. See? I was close.
Yeah.
And he's like an undead dude. Zombie.
Okay.
That's close. That's close. And then Marvel, I picked Secret Warriors. Absolutely.
Sweet.
Without a doubt. Surprise new title.
Yeah.
For the reasons we talked about on the last episode. So.
And if I want to go with a real one, I mean, since I already talked about it, I'll also throw in Ultimate Spider-Man, because the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man has been as good as the previous one for me, but not for everyone, so, you know.
And yeah, not everyone.
Yeah, that happens, though. All right. Blank got canceled in 2009, and I'm still sad about it. And, let's see, who should start this one? Okay, all right, fine. Chris, go ahead.
I probably got one that nobody's going to pick, and everybody's probably going to disagree, but
uh-oh.
Spider-Girl.
Before you even start, Rich Johnston reported earlier this week that it looks like Spider-Girl's coming back again.
No!
That title will not die no matter what you do to it.
It's the Freddy Krueger of comics.
It's the Jean Grey of comics. Oh, wait.
I hate the response that people who, the whole response or the whole thing that people who want to read a married Peter Parker, go read Spider-Girl. It's like, no, you dumb fuck. People want to read a married Peter Parker who's still young and not written by Ron Frenz and, Jim Shooter, whoever's writing
it. DeFalco.
They want to read a modern Spider-Man. They don't want to read a married DeFalco Spider-Man. That's not the whole point.
By the way, Spider-Man Clone Saga, doing pretty good. I'm enjoying that a lot. All right, okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging that.
It's been pretty good. All right, so you're sad that Spider-Girl is... for now, it's still gone. It hasn't been confirmed yet or anything. So.
Well, yeah. Well, it was gone, and then they put it in like a backup feature in that Spider-Man magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's in Web of Spider-Man, and... So it wasn't really gone, but
as a regular title, it was gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was gone, and I liked it. I looked at it. It was just an old throwback. It was fun. It had you had a good continuity. You had a nice set of characters. You know, backup characters. You know, her posse. You know, her friends. Look at me trying to be hip and young.
Yeah, yo, word to your mother.
And so I was, and I was one of those people that I own every issue. I bought every issue off the rack. I've never had anything bad to say about it. It's just, I know some people don't like the artwork but it was always, to me, it was just a solid book. It was just, it wasn't a top of the stack book, but it wasn't the one that gets pushed to the bottom and then, until you don't get to read it until you have three or four issues built up because you feel guilty that you need to read them.
Yeah.
It was just a good book. A solid book, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, I dropped it near the end of its run because I just sort of lost interest. I hadn't been reading it for a while. It had been piling up, and I had no reason, no desire to really go back and finish that. But I did pick up the last issue, the very last issue, and I felt that did do a good job of, tying every plot point together and really putting a nice ribbon on it. And then they continued it because it never dies. So you know, like, that nice ribbon was there. But I will give it one thing. Until, you know, like, current comic books of the past, like, 6 months or so, it was the only comic book that remembered the Clone Saga existed. So I'll give it that. I'll definitely give it that. All right. My answer to this is going to be a little bit more mainstream and one that more people will probably agree with. Captain Britain and MI-13 got canceled in 2009, and I'm still sad about it. Because Captain Britain and MI-13 was just pure fun. Okay? It was bringing back Excalibur, and it probably would have wound up being more successful had they simply named it Excalibur, I think. But Paul Cornell has never steered me wrong. Everything he's written, I've loved and adored. The Kirk art on it was fantastic. And the story points were great. I mean, come on. You had Dracula and his vampires, like, assaulting the United Kingdom from the moon. Okay? I mean, these are plot points that no one but Paul Cornell could come up with, and he executed them beautifully. And it was one of the better Secret Invasion tie-ins also in their first couple of issues. Basically, the beginning of the book was a huge, you know, Secret Invasion tie-in, and one of the cast members dies, and, you know, it was all really well done, and I enjoyed it immensely while it was around, and was really pissed to see it go. So that'll be my title that I'm annoyed about. And my title, the DC title that got canceled that I'm still sad about, I don't know if this can even really count, because it's technically still around. But wait, when did Blue Beetle get canceled? Was that
2009?
That was 2009. Okay, yeah, then Blue Beetle.
I checked.
Yeah, good. Just checking.
That's my pick too.
All right, yeah, because
that's my pick.
Yeah, because Blue Beetle, you know, is just like I said about Captain Britain and MI-13. It's just pure fun. You know,
10 pages a month is not enough.
I agree.
Therefore, it counts.
Yeah, and that's going away soon anyway. You know, which really sucks. But
much more. Which gives us much more reason to pick it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, Blue Beetle, bring him back, or I'll kill you. And, Brent?
And not in the JLI Weekly. That doesn't count. I want him by himself.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I agree entirely. He has way too good a supporting cast for it to go to waste.
It's too good of a concept.
Yeah. Nah, dude. And Brave and the Bold has proven that, you know, even the kids love him. You know, because they've been doing a pretty good job with Jaime over in Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, you pick Booster and what else? Blue Beetle and what else? Sorry. Yeah.
That's it. Marvel books. I had no pick for that.
Wow. because nothing you read got canceled.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I thought he was going to go the other way and say nothing that got canceled, he was sad to see go.
No.
Get rid of that book. Yeah. Cancel it.
Fuck Spider-Man.
I read is pretty much the mainstream stuff to follow the universe.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. What? You weren't reading Brother Voodoo or Sword?
Nope. Sorry.
Hey, I do really feel bad to Kieran Gillen, because they wouldn't even give him 6 issues.
He's doing a bang up job on Thor.
I'm gonna have to read it, man, because I mean, you told me it was good. I just, you know,
did you read the finale of JMS's run?
It's still sitting there waiting to be read.
The quote unquote finale.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a finale. Go get Kieran Gillen's issues. You're gonna need them. Okay.
Well, I know something bad will happen. I know something bad happens to my favorite character. So, you know. Yeah.
Favorite character.
Well, the only human being in the title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. That's not too big of a surprise because hey guys.
Well, he's on the cover.
hey guys, JMS is gone. We can kill his pet character now.
The only one you can relate to. Goodbye. No, Blake's not in the book that much. Goodbye.
Sweet. All right. onward to question five. Blank was the creative team of 2009, no doubt. And for this one, I'm going to go first because I feel like it. And
you went first last time.
Well, yeah, okay, fine, Brent.
No, you go first.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go.
All right, fine. All right, Brent, go.
All right, for the listener's sake, I'll go. God. Well, I mean, we've heard about them all fucking year long, so I figured I might as well pick them. Greg Rucka.
Be very, very quiet. I'm
quiet. I was just about to do the same thing.
Greg Rucka and J.H. Williams the second or third.
Or fifth.
Whatever it is. Fifth. Fourth. the Batwoman team. Creative team 2009, no doubt.
Sweet.
Simply because. And then for Marvel, I picked Bendis and Deodato. For Dark
Ooh,
Avengers.
Nice.
I felt like they really started clicking once they got out of the X-Men crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the last two issues of Dark Avengers. Man, those things have been sharp. The art in there has been just fantastic, which makes Secret Avengers all that more mouth-watering for me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
With Brubaker, so.
Sweet.
Ian.
One of my creative teams of 2009, and yes, it is technically a 2009 one, even if it's continuing on into 2010. I'm gonna go cop out and go Geoff Johns, Ivan Reyes, or however the fuck you pronounce his name, because I know he said that it's pronounced a certain way, but it's like it's Mark Miller and Mark Millar. You know, it's never gonna be pronounced right. So Ivan Reyes, I'm saying it that way, and I'm sticking with it.
I think it's Ivan Reis or Ivan Reis.
Something
I don't
like
believe
that.
It's Ivan Heiss or whatever they're talking in. Yeah.
Ivan Heiss.
Ivan Heiss. That doesn't sound right. That sounds like Norwegian. Ivan Heiss.
It's not the tumor.
Like hell, Ivan Heiss.
but Blackest Night has proven to be, you know, the crossover. Well, we'll get to that one later, but basically they've been crafting a title and a book that's just outstanding every single month, and it's hard not to pick them because they're the top of the stack for DC for me. I mean, every time it comes out, it's the first I read, and it's the prettiest book I read, absolutely no question. And the runner-up on that is actually Geoff Johns and Doug Monke on the regular Green Lantern book.
Oh, forgot about him.
Yeah. Because
is that 50? Issue 50?
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Yes.
That was fucking sweet-ass art, man.
Dude, and nothing will ever beat. we loved you, Mira. Your son loved you.
I never wanted a baby.
Like, welcome to the Red Lantern Corps, Mira. Nice. Monkey and his inker and his colorist and John's on the writing is just knocking it out of the park every single issue. So that's by far my chew there that I can say for DC. And for Marvel, I'm going to go with one part of the Uncanny X-Men team, because fuck you, Greg Land. I'm going Matt Fraction and the Dodsons, because every issue that they do looks pretty and is written really, really well. And then Land draws an issue, and then it just is written well. But then the Dodsons come back and it's drawn pretty. So hey, all right. and my runner. Hey, all right. Hey,
get
hey,
the
hey.
Thumbs up there. Going hey.
Hey. And my runner up to that would actually be Fraction yet again on Iron Man with LaRocca. Because LaRocca proved something to me this year, that even though he does use photo reference, he can still draw one pretty ass Iron Man. And once every month. Exactly.
Yeah.
That guy has not missed an issue of his own book.
Yeah.
In 25 issues. What artist out there now can say that?
Deodato.
Other than Mike Norton and Bagley.
And Deodato. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's only on 12 of Dark Avengers. So
if you count Thunderbolts, so.
Well, he didn't do all the X-Men stuff, too.
True, true.
He didn't do some of those.
Right. Okay. All right, I'll give you that. Yeah, but what's also great is that he stopped drawing Pepper like Nicole Kidman after a while. You know, and once LaRocca stopped doing that, the entire book became better. You know? because really, I mean, it's so jarring to see, like, open up the title and see... What did Vince B say that he draws Tony Stark as? Damn it! What's his face from Lost? I'm trying to think, the guy who almost played Gambit.
Oh,
Josh Holloway.
Yeah. He says he draws Tony Stark like Josh Holloway. I don't really see that too much, but the Nicole Kidman on Pepper, that was really apparent the first couple of issues. Yeah. And he knocked that off, and that made me very happy. Like, I kind of wish he would just go back and redraw those early issues of Invincible, just to you know, get rid of the Nicole Kidman part of it. But yeah, whatever. Those are definitely my creative teams of 2009, without a question. Mm-hmm. And hey, Chris, tell us what yours are.
Oh, like everybody else, Jeff Johns and Ivan Rice.
No, you're not allowed. And everybody else picked it. Sorry.
Yeah. Everybody else, but that's not here.
Yeah, right.
But for Marvel, I mean, can't say. Well, Geoff Johnston, geez, what more can you say? You know, mm-hmm. that's not been said.
Right.
But for Marvel, I'm going to go a little bit different, and it's not because of what he's done just in a few issues here and there, but Brubaker and Epton for Captain America. Okay. How they've kept that book interesting. I mean, before all the Reborn stuff, obviously, but kept it interesting without Captain America. I mean, you know, then making Bucky Captain America, and it just there was, how could I put it? Any other writer, they would have fallen into the trap where they would have wrote Bucky too much like Captain America, and fans would have been screaming their heads off, and, you know, like, oh, this is not my Captain America. I did not hear anybody complain.
Nope.
Everybody was...
I hate to bust your balls and be a technicality, but Hitch has been doing that the last 7 months, and then before him, Luke Ross and Butch Geist and Epting's been off of it to do Marvel's project for, like, the past year.
So how great was Marvel's project? Hey, Marvel.
But you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Hey, Marvel's project has been pretty fucking good too. So why don't we just throw that in there? It's okay. You don't have to redact it if you don't want to, Chris. We'll shoehorn them in to 2009. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Gotta squeeze him over that gap there.
Yeah. But they made it. There's a couple months in there.
Yeah, right. Well, why don't you just go with the brain trust then?
That's what I was just about to say. As a runner up for Marvel, the Spidey brain trust. Whew.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that just consistency all around. You know.
Man, and I'm looking at the Marcos Martin cover for Amazing Spider-Man 618, because it happened to just be right here.
I'm glad he's on that, on the Spider-Man rotation. That guy's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That Mysterio cover just blows it out of the water, man.
You know what my reading order is when I get my books? It goes Blackest Night, you know, and then depending on the tie-ins, those might rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And then it goes Amazing Spider-Man, because that book is so consistently good. So consistently awesome that it gets first or second stack depending on what's out.
Yep.
Now when Siege and Blackest Night wrap up, that I'm gonna read two or three issues of Amazing Spider-Man and get a month before I read anything else. For real. It's that good for me.
I'm like six issues behind, but I think over
as much as we hated what they did, it's really damn good.
Yes. Yeah. I considering that, you know, we are the three that dissected it like insane on that episode of Comic Timing, you know, back in the day, I think they've been doing a pretty good job there, man.
I just want to say for the record, if Chris Johnson had continued reading right now, he would still have amazing spider cats because he'd have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Chris, we love you.
Yes.
Chris, we love you.
It's okay, Chris. It's okay. It's okay. Put the gun down. It's okay, man.
Well, not to disagree. But I will say this. It hasn't been till recent that that book got good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. For me, it's for the longest time, it's been hovering in mediocrity. It's just, I mean, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's been, oh my God, it's the best book out there. I'm like, are we reading the same book? it wasn't until recently that I think it was, again, it was when Mark Waid did those couple issues,
mm-hmm.
that it seemed to turn for me.
Okay.
Because what I was noticing that there was no Peter Parker. There was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man books have always been a balancing act between Peter Parker and Spider-Man. When you read in Spider-Man, you've loved Peter Parker. You want to know what's going on with Peter. And when you've read the Peter Parker part, you were dying to know about Spider-Man. For the longest time, I felt they were just totally ignoring Peter Parker. There was just bits and pieces here and there. But, it wasn't until recently, did it start to turn for me.
Yeah.
Right now, like I said, when they started bringing back the old villains and they started really getting into his personal life again, then, that's when it started to turn. To me, it's good right now. It's not great. It wasn't. It hasn't been great in a long time. But like I said, I know I'm also different because I've had this argument with a lot of people, mm-hmm. and I know my opinion is different than everybody else's. So I think it is because I look at it with a different eye.
Right.
This is my character. This is the one I grew up with. I hold it to a higher level, and it's I'm sure. Nobody else is holding it to the same higher standards that I am. But I will give it to Steve. Was it Wagner? Wacker?
Wacker.
Yeah.
Wachter.
Yeah. He's doing Wacker. A great job of holding that together. I would have bet real money that it would have been delayed and delayed and, mm-hmm. Filler issues and, things like that would have happened by now.
Hey,
but it has.
You can tell that this is the guy who, made 52 what it was,
Yeah, and that it wasn't a fluke that he was able to do that.
Yep, no question.
Yeah, he did a great job, and he deserves all the applause, all the accolades that have been heaped on him. So,
all right, well, you want to nominate anybody else other than Brubaker and Epting?
Nah, this is. I'll take a pass on it then.
Okay,
I want to add on to that Amazing Spider-Man. I think when Character Assassination wrapped up. And they finally stopped with the Spider Tracer murders. I think that's when it finally got back on its feet, like that turning point you're talking about.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. once that ended, then we could finally go into a new direction and kind of explore other areas of, of Spider-Man. That's when it was like, okay, now I see the reason why this is so good and so consistent. I mean, I was enjoying the character assassination stuff and all that came before and all that, but I mean, once that was wrapped up, it was like, all right, we got a cool, funny-ass roommate who likes him, hates him, hits on him, shags him. That part. I love his roommate. It's just hilarious.
No. Remember, he was drinking ginger ale.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm going to name a team for Chris, whether he likes it or not. Okay. And I don't even know if he's reading the title, but it's officially his answer, okay? And that's Swierczynski and whoever has been drawing Cable. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, moving on.
No. Seriously, though, I've been enjoying Cable so much this year, and I think that the different art teams that they've had on the title – while they have varied, from Olivetti to what's his face, the guy who was drawing X-Force as well for a while, they've had a bunch of different art teams on it, but I think that Cable has been exceptionally good all year, and I'm so happy that they're finally wrapping up that damn storyline, though, because I love it, but it's so nice to see them back in the present now, or soon to be in the present, so that we can move on a little bit. That was your answer, Chris.
Okay. Well, I did good, didn't I?
Yeah.
Good answer, Chris.
Yeah, definitely.
Very well formed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Did anyone know that blank could draw this good? In 2009, I found out. Chris, redeem yourself.
I'm going to go with Ivan Rice again. I liked his stuff in the past, but wow. The stuff he's doing right now, Blackest Night, was just like, it's blowing me away. I mean, it's just incredible. The level of detail, the power behind a lot of his images. It's just really, it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. I can't say any more.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow.
I'm really just, it's one of those things that if you when you look at his pages, you almost hear music playing in the background, you know, the theme music playing for Green Lantern or something like that. It's just, they're very dramatic, very powerful image, you know, everything from the facial expressions to just small, the way the body's positions and poses. This has got everything going for it right now. And again, it doesn't hurt that he's got one of the best stories going out there also, you know, he's got Jeff Johns writing a great story, and his artwork is just, they're just both knocking it out of the park.
Cool.
So
I agree. I agree with every single thing that you just said, actually. So that works.
That's your answer?
Yep, that is his answer.
Yes, Regis, that's my final answer.
No. That is not actually my answer, though. My answer for DC would be Mr. Francis Manapul. Because talk about stepping up your art to the next level. He was great on Legion, but what he has done on Adventure Comics has just completely toppled everything else he's ever done. And I mean, by far, like, everything he did in that Superboy run was just stunning. And that's why he's definitely going to be my pick. I mean, yeah, sadly, there weren't that many, you know, issues to go with it. But yeah. at least we had what we had, you know? So that's definitely going to be my answer there. As for Marvel, I think my pick is Mr. Coipel. Because, Thor's pretty.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, you felt that way.
Yeah. Well, the book, not...
Oh.
Not the man.
Not the man with the flowing locks, no.
I understand.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, Coipel or Quapple or Kabob,
whatever he wants to pronounce.
Exactly. Exactly. managed to also step it up a notch, because I think he knew that his that his run was almost over, and he was going to continue to, you know, draw it like crazy, and that's exactly what he did all this year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for by far, those would be my two. Hi, Brent.
Hello. For DC, I picked one obvious choice, and then one of my personal favorites. So I picked two for both of these.
Okay.
I picked Ivan Rice, obviously, for everything Chris said. And one more thing to add on to that. He brought back the 90s vertical splash in a way that's not egregious.
Okay.
For example, in issue number one, he's got the twist page. You know, it's like the second or third page. I just reread 1-6 recently. And they're fucking awesome when you read them back to back. You can see Jeff Johns lay things out, like with these different colored lanterns and stuff, like the New Guardians and stuff, is great. But issue number one, if you recall, he's got that big vertical splash of all the different Earth Green Lanterns, you know, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful two pages.
Oh, yeah.
And then in five, he's got, you know, the two page vertical splash of Batman Rising. Just makes that image, you know, all the more powerful, because you actually have to turn the book to read it, and as you're turning it, you're like, oh my god, it's Batman! And then you turn it back again to turn the page, And then it's another two-page splash of Batman leaping in the air, spitting black rings, and it was like, wow, this guy really knows how to compose some moments. So.
Great. Now I just have this image in my head of, like, everyone wondering what the fuck is wrong with you because you're screaming out on the top of your lungs, oh, my God, it's Batman!
That's right. And then for a more unknown kind of guy, Marcus Toe on Red Robin.
Ooh.
Surprised me very much. Definitely brought that book back from the ashes of Ramon Box, who's currently ruining Azrael.
Wow, this coming from the man who adores Azrael, that says something.
I know, and Azrael is quickly becoming one of the worser books on Batman's title. it just feels as like it's got no direction really right now. Mm-hmm. So kind of treading water on that one.
I just caught up on the last four issues of Red Robin, so I'll agree with you on that, definitely.
Yeah, Marcus Toe has been doing a really bang-up job bringing that book back to life and making it enjoyable. So
yeah, Tim looks like a teenager.
Exactly. Oh, my God. What a concept.
Yeah.
And he looks like a teenager while he's Red Robin.
I know.
Whoa.
As opposed to just looking like a teenager when he's out of the costume.
That the body type you have as a normal person is the body type you're supposed to have in spandex?
Okay, you're blowing my mind, man. You're absolutely blowing my mind.
Exactly. And then for Marvel, obvious pick for me was Dale Eaglesham on Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was good, but goddamn, he's good.
Oh, yeah.
And then more unknown pick, I picked Yannick Paquette for the Weapon X arc.
Okay.
He just finished up. Because that stuff, I've seen his stuff elsewhere before, but the Insane in the Brain arc has just brought it to a new level. And it made me stand up and say, wow. So... kudos to him.
All right. That works. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm trying to pick guys that, you know, not superstars that were like, we knew they draw good. Trying to point out some younger talent, too.
Right. Okay, before we get to question seven, how about we do the review corners?
Okay.
All right.
All right, I'll read off. You want me to read off the list? I'll read off the list really quickly.
Okay, cool.
All right. Review corner list from 2009. In no particular order or importance, I try to go chronologically. We had Final Crisis number 7, Punisher number 1, Adventure Comics number 3, Daredevil 501, Chew number 5, Green Arrow Black Canary number 15, Secret Invasion Dark Reign number 1, Akihabara at Deep, a manga, X-Force Cable Messiah War Prologue number 1, War of Kings Darkhawk number 1, Bang Tango number 1, Azrael Death Dark Knight Dark Knight number 1, Caped number 1, Captain America Comics Special number 1, Flash Rebirth number 1, Ignition City number 1, Detective Comics number 858, What Happened to Caped Crusader Part 2, Hellblazer number 256, Batman in Barcelona number 1, Spider-Man the Short Halloween number 1, Runaways number 11, Batman and Robin number 4, Beast of Burden number 1, Doom Patrol number 1, Fantastic Four number 570, Days Missing number 1, Justice League Cry for Justice number 1, New Avengers number 55, Death Clock versus the Goon number 1, JSA All-Stars number 1, that's a lot of number ones here. Secret Warriors, number one. Oh, wait, 11. Conan the Cimmerian, Way to the Crown, Dr. Horrible, one shot. Rebels, number 10, Captain America Reborn, number 5.
Number 1. It was the first time Captain America Reborn, number 5 came out, so I figured why not. Okay, now out of the list that you just mentioned, Brent, let's go with the top five books out of that. First off,
I didn't even prepare that.
Yeah, I know you didn't. That's why I'm saying it, because I didn't prepare it either. So I got to look at it myself.
Prepared everything else, just you know. top five.
No particular order on the top five either.
You could pick
yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
All right. It's Daredevil 501.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my top five.
Definitely.
X-Force Cable Messiah War Prologue.
Okay.
Batman in Barcelona, Spider-Man Short Halloween, and last one, I'll go a tie between Conan Cimmerian and Days Missing number 1.
Okay. All right. So, I still got to read the rest of Days Missing, man.
I didn't read the rest of them, but number 1 was good.
Yeah. It was. Okay, so obviously my first pick is going to be Final Crisis number 7. No. All right. My five that I'm going to pick off the top of my head here. Let's go with, yeah, you know what, why not? This was actually pretty good, and it was James Robinson writing Captain America. So Captain America's comic special number one is going to be on there. Spider-Man The Short Halloween would be number two. We've got New Avengers number 55, which was really...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that issue grew on me after a while. To be completely honest, I read it for like a second or third time afterwards, and I'm like, okay, that makes more sense to me now. Yeah, so that's on my list. That would be number three. Dr. Horrible one shot number four, and for number five, see now I'm shorting myself here because I gotta find. Oh, duh, this is a given. Adventure Comics number three, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and give me your five worst.
Five worst. Final Crisis number seven.
Say that five times.
Final Crisis number seven. Final Crisis number seven. Final Crisis number seven. Final Crisis number seven. Final Crisis number seven.
All right, we're done.
Oh wait, no, I got four more picks.
Okay.
Final Crisis number seven. Akihabara at Deep.
You're absolutely wrong. Please continue.
Cape number one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Number one.
Oh, God. Oh, the pain.
Yes. Doom Patrol number one.
Oh, God.
And my last one, Green Arrow, Black Canary 15.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that. All right. For me, Final Crisis number seven. And four more times, Hellblazer 256. Because
wow, I thought you liked that issue when we read it.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay, yeah, but when looking back on it, okay, and this was after reading it a couple more times, it said it was going to be a jump on issue, and it wasn't.
Right, which is what I pointed out to you when we recorded that.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I love hearing that. Say it again.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Brent Cassina for the first time in his life.
Can I turn on a sexy video while you say this?
You are in a hotel room, so I'm sure they probably have some sort of selection that you can probably choose from. But yes, I would definitely go with Hellblazer 256 as my second choice. Third choice would be Doom Patrol number one. I just vomited.
Was that the title of the book?
Yes, actually. It was Doom Patrol number one, I just vomited. That's exactly how it went. Number four? You know, honestly, choosing more after this is a little difficult because I liked more books than you did.
Yes, you did. Caped? You liked Caped?
Okay, Caped. Yeah, thanks. Caped number one. Would be number four on that list, and number five because I can't think of anything else to put on there. Looking at this list, mostly because of the fill-in factor, and you know, I haven't read number six yet, so maybe number six does salvage it. But Captain America Reborn number five,
really?
Yeah,
five was much stronger than six.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
that's a real shame, man.
Because I read six and I listened to the episode when after I released it, and not to say I didn't listen to editing thing, I paid more attention to it. But looking back, five is much stronger than six. That makes it much stronger. It's a stronger issue than six.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's a real shame. Because number five wasn't that good.
It clearly shows it was meant to be a five-issue series.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case,
when Flash Rebirth number six comes out, we're going to see it was meant to be six issues.
Mm-hmm.
This one you can really tell it was stretched.
All right, then fuck it. I take it out. Ignition City number one.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that one was meh, but I didn't want to put it on my worst list.
Well, I'm trying to find ones that I could say I didn't like, you know, and that's one where I didn't really have any inkling to read the second issue.
That's true.
You know, and that and when you're coming up with the first issue of Unlimited, it's got to draw you, and that just didn't happen with me there. So that right. that'll be on the list. And I'm not reading the Azrael series. Sorry, dude.
It's all right.
Yeah, even though you said
that one that we picked was not bad.
Yeah,
but
that was pretty good.
New number one was okay, but the Ramon box art, ugh, goddamn.
So looking at this list, Chris, are there any standouts that you see? You don't have to pick a five worst or five best, but you can certainly point out books that you yourself enjoyed.
Yeah, well, I was kind of shocked that you guys didn't pick this one, but the Batman Doc Savage.
Ooh.
I really like that one a lot. Maybe because I'm an old fan of the old Doc Savage stuff,
mm-hmm.
the books and stuff like that, but I just dug it. It was a cool book, I thought.
Well, that was never on our review corner list. I'm sorry.
I thought it was.
No. Hmm.
No.
Batman in Barcelona was.
Ah. Okay.
Which if you haven't read, you should.
Enough Batman. We tried not to pick a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. We wound up sort of going Batman crazy.
Yeah, we did. What did we do? Azrael, Batman. Detective Comics, Batman. Batman in Barcelona, Batman. Batman and Robin number 4, Batman. Anything else?
Spider-Man the Short Halloween, Batman.
Batman.
But okay, other than ones that weren't on the list, which ones on the list would you point out, Chris?
Well, like it says, all of the Nova run, you pretty much pick any issue in there, and I was a winner.
Nova wasn't on the list either.
Yeah, I know. As I said, anything but on the list.
Choose things that are on the list, man.
I'm thinking like,
Let me look at the list again.
Yes.
Open up the forum topic and look at the link.
Okay.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, there was the Cap special was good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of. I didn't read the Azrael one, so sorry there, Brent.
That's fine.
All right.
He forgives you.
Of course, that was good. I mean, did it... put me in a spot here.
Did you click on the link that he sent you so at least you could have the list to look at?
Yeah, I just clicked on it. Okay.
Scroll down.
Yeah, let me pull it up here.
Right out the. Oh wait,
that's been
trademarked
by somebody else.
Yeah, right. Hey, Flash Rebirth number one. That's a really great long running series.
Quickest book ever.
Yeah. I was really tempted. I was really tempted to put as one of my you know questions. I can't believe blank isn't over yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we could all say Flash Rebirth, but
let's see. Well, of course, the Fantastic Four was that whole run since God, I forgot his name now. Yeah,
Jonathan.
Hickman and Eagleson have taken over. I've mm-hmm. just loved everything that the Council, the Reed Richards.
Oh, yeah.
that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Is the
Have you been reading Cry for Justice?
Cry for no, I haven't.
Okay.
And judging by what you said by your review, the and what I've everything else I've heard about it for worst, I'm gonna give it to toss between Doom Patrol and Final Crisis 7. I read Final Crisis 7.
Oh boy!
And Oh,
how many times did you read it?
Yeah.
I read it once, but I read it like I would have to stop and reread what I just read. You know, I was going like, what did I just read? Reread it again and again. And when I finally got through the end of it, I says, "Oh, this was horrible. I didn't want to reread it again." So I must if Text-wise, I think I've read that book about 5 times, but from start to finish, I 1 time. It was death. Horrible. And I know there's people out there who just love it, and Chris Johnson, all, you know, he's our friend, he's my friend, he's your friend, and he just absolutely loved that thing to death, you know. And more power to him, you know.
What?
But
how? How? That's all I want to know is how.
I sing you to death.
Wait a minute. You put the people in, was it ice trays, was it?
Like, yeah, basically.
Firm dishes. Petri dishes.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go back to the questions here. Okay. So I'll stop interrogating Chris. All right. Blank was an event that delivered what it promised in 2009. And, you know, I really should just disqualify Blackest Night here since we're all going to say it. But,
I know.
All right, fine. Well, what a shock. My answer is Blackest Night for DC.
Blackest Night.
Yeah, that's a given.
Me.
for Marvel, Reign of Kings. Because the whole Reign of Kings crossover that wound up happening, you know, leading into Realm of Kings, was really good, and it actually had a climax to it, as opposed to other events that just roll right into the next one. There was a climax to War of Kings, mm-hmm. that left you hanging for a while, which allowed the books to actually just have their own stories and then go into Realm of Kings. There's a giant tear in space time right mm-hmm. now that they're dealing with in Realm of Kings. That at the end of War of Kings, you're like, oh shit, what now? And then you don't hear anything for like 3 or 4 months because the buildup actually builds up as opposed to just moving on to the next thing. That's what made War of Kings so great for me. And that's what I'm going to put in there as my delivered promise right there. Chris.
I'm just going to echo what you just said, Blackest Night and War of Kings, but I will even add one more thing to the Blackest Night. Not only did it deliver what was promised, but it lived up to the hype.
Yes.
Which that is really hard to do. Because mm-hmm. we all know there are so many books that have been hyped to death and, you know, oh, the next greatest thing. And, you know, it may be a good series. It may not be. But to live up to the hype, and Blackest Night is living up to that hype.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can't say anymore. And for War of Kings, I like that one. It delivered what it promised. But I one thing I like about it was because Abaddon Lan writing everything, it just fit so well.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like, you know, like most of the stuff where it's like, here's the world, and then somebody comes up and writes the miniseries or writes a special, and suddenly it doesn't quite fit. You know, it's almost like they've been, okay, well, we got to do this, this, and this to get to this point so so-and-so can tell his story.
It was one singular vision.
Yeah, and it just flowed. And, you know, like I said, that one didn't get nowhere near the hype that Blackest Night did.
Gee, what a shock.
Yeah, what a shock. But so I won't say the same thing about it, but mm-hmm. it's hands down was one of my favorites, and artwork was great on both of those. So
yeah.
I'm just happy camper for when buying both those series and books.
Yeah.
So
sorry, Necrosha, you don't live up to Blackest Night. Sorry.
Whoops.
Yep. Brent.
Yes.
Anything other than Blackest Night?
I picked Blackest Night, obviously.
Wow. What a shock.
Enough said. And for Marvel, I didn't really read any events. I didn't even think they had any events in 2009. Totally forgot about War of Kings because I didn't read it.
Remember, Dark Reign's not an event.
I know. I didn't pick Dark Reign. I picked I said the Thor ongoing was an event.
Okay.
Kind of, because it felt really big, grand, and dramatic in the issues that came out in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And Kieran Gillen has a lot to do with this when I formulated these answers last week.
Mm-hmm.
And considering he had two issues come out in 2009, I think, so I'm counting those.
All right.
Torch's contribution to that, as well as delivered what it promised.
Definitely. Honorable mention, by the way, Dark X-Men. Because the whole Dark Avengers, Dark X-Men crossover really worked for me. That was really cool. Having Namor, you know, be a part of the gang and everything, and Emma doing her quote-unquote desertion from the X-Men to join up with Norman.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty damn sweet.
I read that whole thing, too, and I liked it, but I don't know. I don't know what it promised, and I didn't read any of the uncanny follow-up on it, so...
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't really judge just to say whether it delivered or not.
Well, they're living on an island now.
And Maggie.
And their own nation now. So that's.
Are they gonna? Can they move the island in space time?
Only if they turn the donkey wheel.
Yeah. And then there'll be alternate universe X-Men that never had mutant powers. Oh, lost. Oh, lost. All right, if I have to endure blank again in 2010, I quit. And we'll start with you, Brent.
Cry for justice. Thank you, everything. But
wow.
I think the sixth issue kind of clinched it for me. Yes, I know it came out in 2010, but up until issue number five, you know, issues 1 through 5, I still don't know where it was going. Prometheus is the big bad. He doesn't appear till issue number 6, you know, unless you count the imposter in like 2 or 3. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Mauro Castiglione art is amazing. I love it. And but I just felt it's really disjointed. And
yeah.
I hope James Robinson can pull it together for his regular Justice League run.
I certainly hope so. And you didn't even have art by him in issue 6.
Yeah, it was some really bad copycat.
Yeah. Boy.
You know, what was funny, though, that guy, I forget his name, he did the fill-in art for Cry for Justice issue 6. I think mm-hmm. the colorist did most of the copycatting. But he also did the same art that month for Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl art is off the chain.
Huh.
And it looks a lot like Jamal Igoe, but his Cry for Justice art just plain sucked.
Is that Camp? Mm-hmm. Or am I
Matt
thinking
Camp or something like that?
Yeah. Okay.
I think you're right.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, because I actually have Supergirl 49 in my hand right now, so I see Camp as the you know listed artist. So I assume that's probably who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the same guy.
Okay.
And then for Marvel, I picked Captain America Reborn and Hood and his goons.
Ooh.
I'm so tired of those motherfuckers and New Avengers. Please give me a new villain. Good. Fucking God.
Hey, but guys, we're going to take away their powers again.
No, I mean, seriously, they've been around since Secret Invasion. They've been fighting them since, like, the beginning of Secret Invasion.
Hey, Red Hood, what do you want to do tonight?
I've been fighting Red Hood.
same like thing we do every night, same. Red Hood. Try to take over the world.
Oh, it's so annoying. God damn.
I mean, really,
Doctor Doom or something, you know?
Well, hey, Doom War,
Norman Osborn finally,
yeah.
Rather than run from him.
Oh boy.
Ugh.
Well, if I have to endure another 7 months waiting for Flash Rebirth number 6 in 2010, I quit. Okay, if it's delayed any further than where it is already delayed, then. Ben Skyver, I love you, but stick to miniseries that are more than like that are no more than like 2 issues, please, so that this can't happen again. All right?
Isn't it ironic? The fastest man alive has the latest book.
Yeah, the slowest book alive. That should be the subtitle on Flash Rebirth, or Flash died while waiting for this to come out. And
he decided to go back into the Anti-Monitor's time travel machine.
Yes. He's like, fuck it, I'm done with this.
So actually what it is, he's so fast, he skipped over all this time and went to 6 months from now when the book comes out.
And as for Marvel, if I have to endure more Deken in 2010, I quit.
I'm not reading Dark Wolverine. I'm so glad.
I'm not reading Dark Wolverine either, but there's a reason. I don't like Deken. Okay? This
are you reading Wolverine Origins?
No, I'm not reading Wolverine Origins. Yeah.
So I'm not reading much of them.
No, the only Daniel Way book I read is Deadpool, because that's actually funny. I mean,
intentionally funny?
Yeah. Intentionally funny, right, as opposed to Origins, which is unintentionally funny. But Deken is the guy that you get, spoilers, but who doesn't know this by now, you know, is the guy you get to kill Punisher, okay? And a loser like Deken kills Punisher? That doesn't feel right in my head. I'm sorry. And he has a claw that pops out of his, like, palm. Seriously. The hell, man?
Dude, they gotta make it different, you know?
So
the girl's already got one in her toe. He's gotta have one in his palm.
So what happens if he's masturbating and he accidentally, like, pulls it out? You know?
He gets a stud for,
Hey, look what I got for you, baby.
A new piercing.
Mr. Fantastic, pinch me off some of rap.
Oh, my God. It's not going to end. Holy shit. Wow.
That's two for two, you bastard.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's like, I'll get you.
Trapped in a closet. All right, and Chris.
Okay. Well, for DC, if I have to endure another Grant Morrison event,
one issue was enough to do that, huh?
You know, when he wants to write just comics, it's great, you know. Mm-hmm. But when he wants to do his, I'm Grant Morrison, look what I can do, you know. Oh,
but it didn't used
God.
To be like this. Like, DC 1 Million is one of the best events, like, ever.
Well, I mean, you can definitely tell there's a difference between Final Crisis number 7 when he's trying to show off and Batman and Robin when he's just trying to write a fun book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or even in R.I.P. In R.I.P., yeah. He's just crafting a story.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. And you can wade through it without getting lost. But
yeah.
Not Final Crisis.
It's, I'm Grant Morrison. Look what I know all about Batman, and I'm going to write all this crap and all this stuff that nobody cares about. You know, and you're going to have to like it.
I'm kind of surprised the Roadrunner didn't show up in Final Crisis number 7. I mean, that really would have, like, completed the circle. Or self-insertion, the big bad turns out to be Matt Gorison.
For Marvel, if I have to put up with another bad copy of a DC character, I'm sorry, they're turning Norman Osborn into Lex Luthor.
And I don't
agree
with that.
It just did a piss-poor job.
I don't agree with that.
I see it. I look at it and say, okay, so you want to turn a businessman into the big bad villain that everybody, you know, that everybody doesn't like, you know, there he's the villain, and, you know, Lex Luthor, ooh, no, now it's Norman Osborn. You know, he was good as a Spider-Man villain, but really, he's the guy in charge, you know, he's your big baddie for the universe. No.
I think this is a case of Simpsons did it. and that is that, you know, people will turn to Marvel as making, you know, as basically just biting off of DC because, oh, hey, Lex Luthor was president, and now Norman Osborn's in charge, so they totally bit that off of each other. Yeah, how many years ago did the Lex Luthor thing happen? Shut up. I don't really see too much of a comparison there because Lex Luthor was at least competent in his role, and you know that any second now, Norman Osborn is going to fail.
Yeah. But, I mean, he went from Spider-Man villain to everybody's villain in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's, no.
I can understand where you're coming from. I just don't agree with it. That's all. Yeah. You know, to each their own.
It's your show. You can do that.
Yeah. Cut his mic. Get it over with. Yeah, well, I mean, you'll be happy, though, because I'm sure by the end of 2010, he'll be back to just being a Spidey villain.
Yeah. Either that or he'll be locked up somewhere, and like I said, we'll have the trial of Norman Osborn.
Ooh.
Don't put him on the Thunderbolts.
Oh, yeah. Again?
Again.
It's like, well, here's your punishment. You're back with these bums. All right. Blank rode his pants off in 2009, and quite possibly my pants off. This one I will start off with. And this one, let's see, in DC, I am going to go with... Should I say Geoff Johns or should I go with someone else? All right, well, you know, fuck it, I'll make two. I'll go with the obvious one. I'll do what Brent did with the art. Geoff Johns would be the obvious one because we've mentioned him 873 times already, and that's the way it goes. I would say that Gail Simone wrote her pants off in 2009. Because Secret Six was so goddamn good, and Wonder Woman was the best it has been in years.
That's my agreement for Wonder Woman. I'm not reading Secret Six.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Wonder Woman, Greg Rucka's run was great, but that was all politics. You know, there wasn't really much, you know, badassery going on. And Gail Simone's is all about the badassery, and she has monkeys. Okay, apes.
Yeah. Wonder Woman is a book that you can read, and it's consistently good each and every month.
Mm-hmm.
And the art duo of Aaron Lopresti and then Bernard Chang when he fills in for him.
Yeah.
These guys are solid.
Hell yeah.
Solid.
Hell yeah. And now Nicola Scott's going to be coming on for a little bit.
Is she?
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, yeah, that's definitely up there for me. No doubt about it. For Marvel, Brubaker wrote his pants off in 2009. Both with the end of the Daredevil run, because I think that was a perfect climax to a long run on a series. And Captain America, of course, was Captain America, so you know there's not much to say about that. And Mr. Jonathan Hickman wrote his pants off in 2009 because he continued to knock it out of the park with Secret Warriors and began Fantastic Four. And those are two runs that are going to be remembered for a while. Long after he's done with them, people are going to be looking at that and saying, this was the height of Jonathan Hickman's career right here. So those will be my two. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Chris.
Well, no. Geoff Johns. Yeah.
Wow.
And not only was his quality, but he put out a ton of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, if that's not the definition of riding your pants off, I mean, I don't know what is. For Marvel, I agree with everything you said about Brubaker, but I'm going to go with Abney and Lanning.
Nice.
Because they created a whole freaking universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marvel Universe, you know, cosmic, however, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they took that thing that and have just been... Just everyone has been like a home run. It's just wow, you know. Nova, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like it says, War of Kings, Realm of the Kings, all that stuff has just been incredible.
And they've been bringing characters back as well, like a bunch of space characters that no one had seen for like 20, 30, 40 years are mm-hmm. back in Marvel continuity now because of Abnett and Lanning.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, just in the Guardians of the Galaxy, they brought back the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
I was like, yeah. Star-Lord. I'm a huge Star-Lord fan. I was reading those in the old black and white magazines when they came off the racks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have every one of those. And I was like, you know, then when they, what's his name? Starlin brought Peter Quill back, you know, but he had him different. You know, he had him, you know, one-eyed and tough and, mm-hmm. you know, it was a shadow of himself, but he was still a great character, but he wasn't anything like he was before.
Right.
And they brought him back and they wow, you know, it was just did a great job. And like I said, they're just hitting it out of the park. And I'm again, I was reading Nova from day one and I'm glad to see Nova back. And, you know, I would have been buying it even if it wasn't the best, but now but you know, there's people out there who've been reading Nova and they're like, oh my God, this is so good. And I'm like, yeah, this is Nova was a great character. And it just took these guys to write him the way he deserves to be written.
Yep. And let's also not forget, and this one's for you, Raph, it made Darkhawk not suck. I mean, I love
Darkhawk?
Yes, yeah, Darkhawk? Darkhawk? Kark?
Darkwing.
Duck! But, you know, I mean, I love the character because, you know, I grew up with Darkhawk back in the 90s, but there was nothing to him. I mean, he was just a dude in a suit, you know, and Adnan Lanning have helped make him into like a full fledged character by actually giving him an origin that makes some fucking sense, you know? So, I would certainly agree with that statement on Adnan Lanning there. I mean, they're continuing to knock it out of the park, man.
And there's no end in sight either. No sign of slowing down at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Brent.
I chose Geoff Johns, obviously,
mm-hmm.
for Blackest Night, Green Lantern, Adventure Comics, and Superman Secret Origin. You know, writing his pants off. Good job. In Marvel, I went with Bendis. I don't know. I couldn't think of anybody else. Hickman's doing a good job, too. So.
All right. Okay. Now, the last question that I had on these 10, that I've got one more in a later one. It's up to your interpretation here, whether or not you talk about a creator or whether or not you talk about a character, because I left that out in the open there. So if you want to do either one, you can go ahead. But who would have thought that blank would make 2009 his/her year? And considering that number 9 was already, you know, writing the pants off and we already did artists and stuff like that, I'm going to go more character here than that. And for DC, I think I'm going to go with who would have thought that. See, I had it in my head and it just went away. Because I'm not going to say Hal Jordan. Maybe I could. But I'm actually going to go more who would have thought that the Green Lantern Corps would make 2009 their year for DC. Mm-hmm. Because not only has, you know, because of Blackest Night and stuff like that, yeah, they've been all over the place, but the Green Lantern Corps title has made the Green Lantern Corps such a tight, packed, and neat unit. And they actually have personalities. You know, for years they were just those guys that were floating out in space that occasionally said something in a comic book. And, you know, now they've all got distinct personalities, and they've got relationships, and Kyle Rayner is still badass. Hooray for that.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, hooray for that.
Still alive.
Yeah. Thank you, God. And
hooray for that.
Yes. And, you know, Guy Gardner getting a little red in the face these days. But, you know, other than that, he's doing all right. And, you know, Jon Stewart, even though he hasn't really been too much in the Green Lantern Corps title, he's been off on his own adventures. And, you know, some of them have been a little bit dangerous, to say the least, with Blackest Night. So I'm gonna go with them for my DC pick, no doubt about it. For Marvel, I think, you know, see, this is a tough one because I'd like to say Spider-Man, but I think 2010 is going to be more his year than 2009 was. With the images that they've been showing for what the title was going to be in 2010, I think that's more going to be it than what we've currently had. So instead, I think I'm going to go with who would have thought And, you know, some people are going to crucify me for even thinking this, but who would have thought that the Century would make 2009 his year? Okay, because, yeah, he's a whiny bitch, and yeah, he's out of his frickin' mind, but we've learned more about the Century in 2009 than we did in 2008, 2007, 2006, you know, ever since he's been back, really. And he scares the living crap out of me these days, because at the drop of a hat, he could just snap and kill the entire Marvel Universe. And that's really scary. And I think Bendis has done a fantastic job of crafting that character into being the loose cannon that you could just, you know, expect him to just go off the rails at any moment. So that's where I'm going with this one for sure. And Brent.
I picked Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, 2009, okay. His year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously had a very, very strong year. You know, that we've explored in detail, and I think it's pretty obvious for anybody.
Right.
For Marvel, I went with Hulk. Hulk as in Red Hulk, as in Green Hulk, as in his titles have actually gotten better as the year progressed.
Okay.
You know, starting off with the Jeff Loeb, Ian Churchill, Code Red arc, I think, is where it slowly started to build upwards. And then Greg Pak and Ariel Olivetti jumped on Incredible Hulk and introduced Scar, and Bruce Banner lost his powers again, you know. Okay, so since, I guess it was Hulk 600 came out this year, it's when it's been on a steady incline. And, you know, he may be the pick from 2010 because he's got the rest of Fall of the Hulks as well as World War Hulks, and, you know, apparently he's got big things coming down the line. And if these guys can make a good story out of whatever mess Jeff Loeb had in his head without letting him get in the way, then I think Hulk is in a great position for 2010. And who knew? Because he was certainly at the bottom of the barrel at the end of 2008. So,
yeah. Yeah, hey, can we finally find out who the hell Red Hulk is in 2010, please?
We're supposed to find out in Fall of the Hulk sometime.
Great.
Supposed to.
Watch it turn out to be somebody like Leech or something like that. You know, like someone that you would, like, never expect, that's, like, the smallest character in the Marvel Universe.
I'm thinking it's General Ross.
Yeah?
There's nobody that hates the Green Hulk as much as that guy. So yeah. It's got to be General Ross.
Okay.
And I think the person that they killed, if you've been reading it, it was an LMD.
That would make sense.
There's a lot of evidence on the internet to this theory, and I kind of agree with them. So,
all right, cool. Chris.
Well, since we're switching to characters, I have to agree with you with the Green Lantern Corps. I think they've just been elevated to a new level. Where before they were like a mid-level group, you know, you had the Trinity, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. I think they're right there now. The Green Lanterns have always been very powerful, but for some reason, you know, they just weren't there in that considered an upper echelon. Now, I give it to them. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what was it? What, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they maybe 30, they were getting canceled.
Yep.
You know, from that to what they are now, that's incredible, and really has just been a slow build. But this year, they've just taken off completely. It's amazing, and you know, and of course it goes to Geoff Johns. I mean, guy wrote his pants off, and. Going back to question 9, so I'll give it to the Lantern Corps. For Marvel, I don't know if it's really so much of a who would have thought of, but the Avengers have really just been moving forward. You've got the Initiative. You got New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Dark Avengers, and they've all been good.
Yep.
They've all been really, really good. And, you know, with that many Avengers titles, you kind of run the risk of, getting watered down or getting burnt out on Avengers. But they've all had their own voice, and they've all just done a great job of bringing back prestige to the Avengers. So I'm going to give it to the Avengers.
All right. Well, and now I really want to see as the fifth Avengers title, you know, introduced with this new run, Burnt Out Avengers with D-Man as the leader. Hey, man, we're like the Avengers, dude.
Dude, yeah. Dude, can you spare an Avengers priority card, man?
Yo, someone called Jarvis. We're out of weed.
Dude, can you like make pancakes with those little chocolate chips?
And can you make the chocolate chips out of weed? Oh, man. All right, and last but certainly not least, before we get to the two people who actually answered all these questions, and that would be Matthew Guy and Raph. And finally, if blank doesn't happen in 2010, I'll eat my hat. Seriously, I will eat my hat. And yeah, Chris.
Now we don't end up with all the different colored cores. I mean, as a mainstay, that we don't get rid of them. You know, that there's going to be a Red Lantern core, and we'll see them. We're going to see a Blue Lantern. I mean, one thing I kind of was afraid of, that they were going to introduce these cores, and then suddenly, they're at the end of Final Crisis, they would be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, destroyed. But looking more and more with each issue, that they're going to be around. So.
So basically, you want them all to remain after Blackest Night,
right? And I'm that we will see them, that they just won't be mentioned here and there. That we will actually probably see them in different issues in different comics.
Okay,
that you know the Green Lantern Corps book. Maybe it'll become just the Lantern Corps book, and we'll get stories of the Blue Lanterns, stories of the Red Lanterns.
That would be nice.
But I really think they're here to stay, and that we will see them throughout the year.
They should give them their own title name, Roy G. Biv. The Roy G. Biv Corps. Coming soon to a comic near you.
God. There's people at Adobe Photoshop already going, yeah, I got that joke.
All right, and for DC, if Superman does not return to Earth permanently in 2010, I'll eat my hat. I think that, you know, after this whole, you know, War of the Supermen thing, somehow Superman's going to wind up back on top, and he's going to wind up back on Earth, because the status quo with Superman never stays changed for too long. And he's been away from Earth for quite some time now, and DC's going to find a way to bring him back. I mean, even if the Superman win the war, somehow Superman's going to decide to, you know, just stay on New York, on Earth as opposed to New Krypton. That's going to wind up happening in DC. Considering that we hadn't mentioned Superman like at all during this entire thing, I figured it had to be done at some point. So that's my Superman reference. For Marvel, if Norman Osborn doesn't get his ass handed to him in 2010, I'll eat my hat. Okay? Because the dude is out of his freaking mind and is in charge of everything, as I mentioned before. And eventually, things are just going to go horribly wrong because he's repeating himself now. You know, with Siege, it's like, hey, the entire country came together when all of Stanford got blown up. I know what I could do. I could blow shit up. And then the rally, and like, they'll love me again. And then we can like force all the superheroes to register. Sir, we already did that, sir. Oh, can we do it again?
Yeah, it worked once before.
Yeah, we could do it again. Sure, why not? Yeah. They'll have to register the fact that they registered the first time.
Well, they have to pay a registration fee.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. That works, yeah. Registered trademark right there. Those will be the two things that if they do not happen in 2010, I will eat my hat. And Cassina, what will make you eat your hat? Apparently he's eating his hat right now.
Yeah, same thing.
Interesting.
Nom, nom,
you put a little salt on that fedora, it'll go down a lot easier.
You're not sure? You're not sure?
If Flash Rebirth doesn't end in 2010, I'll eat my hat.
Nice. All right, and Marvel?
If we don't get new villains for the Avengers other than the Hood, I'll eat my hat.
Well, hey, man. I mean, that's part of the new heroic age. I'm sure that they're going to bring back all the old Avengers villains, man. Masters of Evil.
Somebody new.
Yeah, where the hell were the Masters of Evil? Where the hell were the Masters of Evil? They haven't been around in ages.
I don't know.
All right. So who's reading Mr. Guy?
Well, I just wanted to. I kind of went overboard when I compiled my list of answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to point out some things that we didn't kind of talk about.
Sure.
Or that I wanted to point out that I thought were good in 2009. So surprises and disappointments from each company.
Gotcha.
I'm just going to touch on them real quick. Surprises for me, Terror Titans miniseries. Sean McKeever and Joe Bennett on art. Sean McKeever doing the writing. I thought I was going to write this off, but actually this was a really good miniseries.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Wednesday Comics, we talked a bit about. Green Lantern Corps, Green Lantern Corps, we talked about towards the end here, but, I mean, you go back and look at this book in 2009, it has been fan-fucking-tastic. And ever since Sinestro Corps ended and Tomasi jumped on as the writer, Patrick Gleason has not missed an issue.
Yep.
And he's been knocking it out of the park every issue, and that guy has amazed me in the past year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah. Consistent. Every single issue consistent.
Consistent. And, you know, and on top of that, we talked about Wonder Woman briefly, about consistency being good. Disappointments in DC. I think we got to talk about Trinity.
Hmm.
You know, just going to mention that. Not really what anybody expected. Kind of tinkered off there at the end. I think they could have ended it when they took down the castle the first time around. Disappointment. Green Arrow, Black Canary. Cry for Justice. World of New Krypton, Death Trap, Teen Titans and Titans crossover, Asriel, Battle for the Cowl, and Magog. Magog, man.
Mad Dog.
Magog.
I had hopes for that title being the next Blue Beetle and stuff. Keith Giffen, new character.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, just kind of wandering about out there.
Yeah, Giffen hasn't had a good track record lately.
No. Surprises for Marvel. Spider-Man Short Halloween. Did not think that was going to be as good as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Avengers. Amazing Spider-Man. We talked about Hulk. We talked about Secret Warriors. We talked about disappointments. I put Fantastic Four on here mainly because of the end of the Miller Hitch run.
Okay.
Just kind of petered off there. But as well as the two issues that Hickman did that didn't have Eagle Shimon art.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like he was just kind of, I don't know, just putting something out there until Eagle Shim came back.
Yeah, especially
not as good as the previous three.
Especially the whole like New Earth thing.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what the real term for it is, but that's what I think of it as. You know, he basically just got rid of Miller's entire plot there. Like, I mean, yeah. He ended the world, which
he did. And it just ended like that.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was a really cool concept to me, but now no one can ever play with it ever again, really.
Mm-hmm. And then I have New Avengers, Give Me Something Other Than the Hood. We talked about that. And then I have The List. Dark Reign, The List. I don't know if it was an event, I don't know what it was, but it didn't deliver.
Huh.
I thought it was going to be, in each book, I thought it was going to be Norman Osborn doing something about whatever the list title was, Wolverine, Hulk. And in each issue, it was kind of like, Norman kind of does something about it, kind of not. And most times out of, you know, 9 times out of 10, it had more to do with the ongoing book than it did with Norman Osborn and that character.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah, definitely was the case with new Avengers, because I mean that basically just spiraled off of that, and then
Daredevil kind of didn't really have much to do with it.
Daredevil didn't have anything to do with it at all, actually.
The Hulk, the list didn't have much to do with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Wolverine the list was about, but that certainly was not about Norman Osborn.
Yeah, Punisher the list and Spider-Man the list were probably the two best ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. To go on top of what you were just talking about right there, some of the other things from this year that I could mention, The Unwritten from Vertigo. Although I didn't mention it in my best new series, this book has so much creativity in it and is such a new and interesting concept that I love reading it every single month. It's a long read, even though it's only, the regular amount of pages. They pack plenty of words and plenty of story into every single issue, so you feel like you're definitely getting your money's worth. And if you haven't been reading it, definitely pick up that first trade paperback. You will not be disappointed. The art and the writing is superb. And Unwritten, so I'll definitely mention that.
I haven't read that one. What's the concept behind it?
Unwritten is about this kid named Tommy Taylor. Well, not a kid, but at this point he's like a somewhat of an adult. He's in his 20s, I guess. And his father wrote a series of books, sort of similar to what Christopher Robin's father did, naming the character after his son, Tommy Taylor. And through the series of events that happened in the first issue, Tommy starts wondering whether or not the books were created around him or if he is actually the Tommy Taylor from the books.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I mean, it's a pretty damn cool concept. It's basically like what would happen if, Harry Potter was based on an actual kid named Harry Potter. And then he finds out he might actually be the real Harry Potter.
Hmm.
That sort of thing. So,
did it play with your conceptions? Like things that you could say, "Whoa, that's kind of a odd coincidence," and in the reality of the book.
Yeah.
Versus, that does sound pretty good.
It did. It does definitely do that, and actually. Just grabbing it over here just to find out. Yeah, no, Mike Carey and Peter Gross are the team. And Mike Carey, wonderful writer. Peter Gross, fantastic art. It's a perfect combination. And the first, I think the first six issues are in the first trade, which is now available. So I would no question give it a chance if you see it anywhere or as Chris likes to do. Dollar bins, because I'm sure they're probably there as well. So I would certainly do that. Batman and Robin, all year long, was reminding me that Grant Morrison can weave a title really really well if he doesn't try too hard, and that's what he's been doing all year. The Superman titles, Action Comics, Superman, Supergirl. And War of New Krypton, even though the art's been a little, shoddy here and there, as we brought up last episode, I think has been really weaving together a really cool story. And, even though Superman hasn't been on Earth, I think Mon-El's a really cool character, and Nightwing and Flamebird are pretty interesting, too. So that's been working really well for me. And over in Marvel, Spider-Man, we talked about, a little bit, but, that continues to be really, really fun every single month. Ms. Marvel, although it's ending, I think really deserved to be around as long as it has, that it lasted 50 issues, I think is really, with good reason, because it's been a great title as long as it's been around. Brian Reed's been writing that title since it started, and I think Ms. Marvel is a character that has really grown in the eyes of Marvel, both as a character and as a title, while it's been around. So I'm happy to see that's getting a actual ending as opposed to being canceled, and that's hard to find in comic books these days, specifically with a female character. And I'll mention Spider-Woman as well. Spider-Woman's been really cool the first couple of issues that have come out, and that's a sword title that will last more than three issues. So, I'll mention that as well. and still sad to see JMS leave Thor because that kind of sucks. And I really, really, really wish that DC wouldn't have pissed off McKeever and gotten him off of Teen Titans because I like his Teen Titans. Some people were split on it. Some people didn't think he was doing too good of a job. But I, however, think he was made for that and, you know, was doing it really, really well. And J.T. Krull needs to just write Titans. That's it. You know, because
I'm excited.
Go ahead.
I'm excited he's getting on Green Arrow, kind of putting that book back on track, hopefully.
That would be nice, yeah.
He's getting on that with all the Arsenal and all this other stuff.
Rise and fall of Arsenal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I really wish they would just stick with a name for Roy, as opposed to going back and forth between the Red Arrow and the Arsenal thing. Yeah. Ugh. But whatever. I think I'm done talking at this point. you got anything else you want to mention, Chris, about the year?
No. I think we've pretty much touched upon everything and then some.
Okay. Well, in that case, I guess we can go to Matthew Guy here. I'll read Matthew and you can read Raph. All right, Brent?
Okay.
All right. Matthew's answer to question number one, I'm not going to repeat the answers. The questions are just going to go straight to the answers. Hickman and Eagle Shan's Fantastic Four were his he can't believe he started reading. Glad he dropped JSA after John's left, so Chris, you're not the only one. JMS and Jesus Saez on Brave and the Bold, surprise new title. So that's another addition there that Brent can share. Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1 with Bendis and Eminem that ended with the shitty Ultimatum crossover and got canceled in 2009. He's sad about, and my, ugh. Oh, Ulta, you know, how did we not mention, I know that, but it was Volume 1, but how did we not mention the craptacular crappiness that was Ultimatum? I mean.
Because I didn't read it.
Ugh, you don't need to read it. Jesus
it
Christ.
It was so bad, you forgot about it.
It's a defense mechanism. Your brain
so
forgot
bad,
about it.
So late and so delayed, you forgot about it.
Jeff fucking Loeb. That's it. That's all you got to say. Jeff fucking Loeb, all right? Because when he gets off on... For some reason, he gets off on ruining the Ultimate Universe. Because, like, you know, he had the whole incest thing in Ultimates 3 and the Avengers watching Tony Stark's sex tape on the big screen and...
Yeah, that's a party.
You know? And then he decides to, you know, run a tidal wave through New York. For the hell of it. Because he was bored one day. Fuck it. He ruined Heroes, too. All right.
Just throw that one in there, too.
When he left.
He got so much better when he left, man. Yeah. Oh, it got so much better when he left.
Did you watch the... Are you still watching this fucking show?
Yeah, I'm one episode away from the finale.
It's shit-tacular. I watched the finale last night. Shit-tacular.
Wow, well, you developed an accent when you're saying
yeah.
that. And all of a sudden, you're like, shit-tacular.
Shit-tacular.
Jeff Johns and Gary Frank from Superman Secret Origins was the creative team of 2009. Did anyone know that Ivan Reyes could, or Ivan Reis, could...
Ivan
Reis. Ivan Reis. Ivan
Reis. He's not a Duma.
Come with me if you want to live.
I'm not you. You're not me, dude. Who am I?
You're you.
You're you. No, you. I'm me.
I'm twins with Danny DeVito. Ivan Reyes could draw this good in 2009, I found out. Blackest Night was an event that delivered what it promised in 2009, so far anyway, and yeah, it's a good thing to mention. If I have to endure the Spider-Man team of writers, so bleep this crap, just tell me when Peter has a new steady love interest or the Peter/MJ marriage returns in 2010, and I have quit the series. Okay, well, there's someone who really doesn't like it. Jeff Johns, as usual, wrote his pants off in 2009, and Gary Frank with his artwork quite possibly drew his pants off also. Woo! Wow, he likes drawing his pants off. That's what she said. Who would have thought that John Layman...
You're drawing spandex, you're not drawing pants.
That's true. Well, some people wear shorts.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that John Layman and Rob Ghiori, the creative team behind Image's Chew, would make 2009 their year? And I agree with that. And if Walking Ted Walking Better Off Ted, if Walking Dead number 75 doesn't excite or shock me beyond belief, and that doesn't happen in 2010, I'll eat my hat. Seriously, I will eat my hat. And from best to meh to worst, he's got Fantastic Four 570, the best of the best in writing and artwork. This is the first Marvel book I read from my stack every month. Flash Really Late Birth, number one.
He liked it, though.
Yeah, he really liked it. He really liked that first issue, but it still hasn't finished. 10 months later, bad EVS, bad. Beast of Burden, number one of four, a quality miniseries that I truly enjoyed and plan to buy it again in the hardcover. That's in February's preview catalog.
We'll take credit for that one. Thank you.
All right.
Listen to our recommendation.
Exactly.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. We'll take credit for that one.
No. I'm agreeing with you. Exactly. chew number five. I like the conclusion of the first arc, and I eagerly await more of in the next trade, thanks to the Walking Dead flipbook that started my interest in the series. Screw you, Brent. JSA All-Stars, number one. The artwork of the issue was solid. Captain America Comics Special number one, a good single issue, but not as good as Captain America 601. Agree or disagree on that?
I don't know. 601, I could have done without, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I like the special a little bit better. Adventure Comics number three, met on the main story. However, I enjoyed the Legion backups.
Oh, burn. Ooh,
agree to disagree there. Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Matthew.
Ooh, dude.
Matthew.
I guess someone doesn't like Young Justice. Captain America Reborn number five.
He's the one who's been killing off your characters.
Yeah, goddamn bastard. I tell you what, man. Captain America Reborn number five. The artwork started to go lackluster at this point. Marvel started to suck life like a Hoover money-wise with the added issue of the miniseries. Detective Comics number 858, Whatever Happened to Caped Crusader Part 2. The Kubert brothers are late-ass artists that I have very little tolerance in anymore. It was only two damn issues. I'm going to take their side on this, because they were only, like, 3 weeks late on this issue, if I remember correctly. If anything, it was maybe a month. So
it was one brother.
Right, and it was one brother that was that
maybe
was on
that's
this.
The problem.
Yeah, maybe that
they
is the
start
problem.
Working together.
They used
again.
To. They used to. Yeah, back in the days of X-Men. But I liked the story, and it was only a month late. So in the world of comic books, in the world of Kubert's, that's not too bad. I mean, back me up here, right? Right.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Chris. Chris, stop laughing and say that you agree with me.
I agree with you in your exact wording. For the Kuberts, that's not bad. You know, right. For anybody else, I think we'd be really pissed off.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take it. That's as close as I'm going to get. All right. Batman and Robin number four. Philip Tan's artwork let me to drop the series by issue number six as I didn't care anymore.
Matthew.
Oh, boy.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Get number seven, Cameron Stewart. Almost like Frank Quitely.
Hell
fantastic.
Yes. Mwah. Hell yes.
Seriously, Matthew. Issue number seven, they're starting to bring back Bruce Wayne. It's cool. Just check it out on our recommendation.
Guess who's back?
Check it out.
Back again. Bruce Wayne's back. Tell a friend. All right. Final Crisis number seven. Grant Morrison and fill-in-the-blank artist galore couldn't save this train wreck of an event. And that one I'll agree with you on entirely. But not as much as I agree on Doom Patrol number one. Worst issue of the year from DC. I want my money back.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Best company, DC. It recuperates from the lackluster ending of Final Crisis to continue with Superman Secret Origin and Blackest Night as an overall event. Haven't read Secret Origin. I'm waiting for trade on that, but I'll assume that you're right. In addition to that, Batman Reborn with the new Batman in the main book and Batwoman in Detective and the new list of Bat titles from it, Streets of Gotham, Dini and After Dini Left, Batgirl, Batman and Robin, and the book named after a restaurant chain, Red Robin.
Red Robin.
Yum.
I've never eaten at one of those. They don't have those on the East Coast.
There's one right down the street from here. It's pretty good. And Gotham City Sirens, Gotham City Sirens. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Gotham City Sirens 2, until Dini pulled his disappearing act in the book. Worst Company. Oh boy, here we go. All right, Matthew. Fine. I'll read what you have to say here, but you know I don't agree with you. Marvel Mouse, home of the way overpriced and delayed old shitty Hulk taking a pounding with your cousin She-Hulk Logan finale.
He does have a way with his
voice. I like that one, Matt. Good job.
and Tom Brevoort and his piss-poor promotion of 50 Blackest Night Rings stripped covers for a single Deadpool variant cover of Siege Number 3. All right. You know, people were so split down the middle on this because some people were like, oh, that's just juvenile, and oh, that shouldn't be the way things go. Other people were like, that's the funniest thing I've ever fucking heard. And for me, yeah, I'm a little annoyed that there aren't 50 more copies of Blackest Night in dollar bins for kids to maybe pick up later on and you know, discover how bad Doom Patrol is. But but the stores made money on this. You know, they're able to sell one single Deadpool comic book for more than it cost them to get these 50 Blackest Night titles. So if this is helping out stores in any way, I'm for it. So yeah, it's a Deadpool variant cover, and yeah, they're getting rid of 50 Blackest Night, you know, covers to do it. But guess what? There's 50 more where that came from.
You want a little piece of inside information I got from my comic book shop about that promotion?
Go ahead.
Talking to the owner, I didn't talk to him last week, but about two weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He knew of the promotion through everybody talking about it on the internet and people coming in and, mm-hmm. and people calling up saying, if you get that book, I want it, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's yet to hear anything from Marvel, anything official.
Huh.
And he's talked to other shops, and we're not talking little shops. We're talking big shops in the area, you know, like, shops that have been around for 20 years that, mm-hmm. you know, that are well known in the industry. And none of them have heard anything.
Huh.
And his words, if I haven't heard from Marvel, then it doesn't exist. So, and I said, well, it's supposed to be, you know, Tom talked about it. And he says, yeah, but you know what? I have not heard anything from Diamond or Marvel about this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's because it's not actually through Diamond.
Right, but he's not heard from anybody in any official capacity, not from Marvel, not from anybody.
Hmm.
And so, you know, maybe it's a true, legit thing, but he's not heard anything. So, I mean, if he had 50, he wouldn't even know what to do.
Right.
That's the other thing he
All right.
said.
All right. Well, I know for certain that it is actually legit because I remember, I think it might have actually been Wacker who posted it. There was a tweet pic. There was a tweet pic from one of the Marvel editors of 50 Blackest Night titles in a box with their covers ripped off, you know, mm-hmm. that were delivered to, you know, Marvel Studios. So, I mean, I at least know that they're getting these and that they're going to be doing something
yeah.
with it.
But
no, you are definitely right on that. I mean, you can't just trust that this is going to wind up happening. I mean, if you send in 50 comics and you don't get anything back, then what the hell are you going to do?
Right. And his words, I don't have 50 to send back. So, you know, he's not worried about it one bit. He says, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it didn't exist to him because he does a good job at his shop, keeping the inventory the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But like he says, I haven't heard a thing, so it doesn't exist.
Well, whatever works for each individual comic book, you know, store is fine by me.
Yeah,
that's really the way I'm looking at it. You know, if people want to, if stores want to send them in, and you know they do wind up getting their copies, and they do wind up selling them for, you know, $50 a piece. Then that works for them, but or you can hold on to your comics and, you know, put them in dollar bins later on. And if that works for you, then go for it.
Right.
All right, and finishing out what he had to say here, raining on the parade of the writers and artists that did the Blackest Night Ring books in the first place. The only Cracker Jack prize is another Deadpool variant cover and a Deadpool oversaturation at Marvel. Yes, I am calling Marvel out with the one thing that will set you free, the truth. Okay. Best one graphic novel, as in OGN, original graphic novel, that is. The Nobody original graphic novel by Jeff Lemire. Haven't read that, but I hear good things. And the best comic-related media, DCAU movie Wonder Woman, which I would somewhat agree on that. However, I'd probably put Green Lantern on top of Wonder Woman.
No, I'd agree with Matthew. Wonder Woman over Green Lantern.
Hmm, okay. All right. What about you, Chris? Where do you put him?
Yeah, I would give the Wonder Woman the nod on between those two.
All right, that's fine.
Wonder Woman surprised the fuck out of me. So.
Yes, yes. I mean, I saw that. I saw Wonder Woman live, like in the public screening at New York Comic Con, and I remember, like, my jaw dropping to the floor. Like, holy shit! They just decapitated that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's why I give it to the Wonder Woman, because there was no real OMG moments in the Green Lantern one. I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it, but yeah, you're right with that. Like that scene where she decapitated, I was like, "Well, this is not going to go to my niece and nephew to watch." You know?
Yeah, that much is sort of
little girls.
Uh huh. Well, maybe little girls named Gail Simone. I don't know.
Oh, and apparently on the Crisis of Two Earths DVD, there's a sneak peek of the next one, and it's Batman under the Red Hood.
Yes, and voicing. Voicing Nightwing in this Under the Hood will be Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
Barney.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
He's going to suit up?
Yeah, you're damn right he's going to suit up as Nightwing. hold on. I'm bringing up the voice cast right now, so give me...
Bruce Greenwood is Batman.
Okay. And I think... If I remember correctly, yeah, John DiMaggio, the guy who plays Bender in Futurama, is playing Joker. So that could be pretty cool.
Well, I'm hearing Bender's voice coming out of the Joker right now.
Harley, bite my shiny metal ass.
Let's put a smile on their face and give me a beer. And Bruce Greenwood from the Star Trek movies, by the way. So, yeah. He played Pike.
Pike.
Yeah. And Jensen Eccles from Supernatural is playing Red Hood. And Jason Isaacs from the Harry Potter films is Ra's al Ghul. So, yeah. That works. Okay. You may now read Raph.
Really? All right. Raph. Can't believe I started reading and liked Unwritten this year. Well, glad I dropped Hulk. Chew, surprise title. Immortal Iron Fist got canceled in 2009 and nobody was noticed it. Oh, he's still sad about it. Whatever. Jeff Johns, Evan Rice, creative team 2009. Anyone know J.H. Williams could draw this good? 2009, I found out. Blackest Night was the event that delivered. But have to endure Jeff Loeb and mainstream Marvel U again. 2010, I quit.
Yes.
Well, guess what? I guess you better quit your job.
God.
Greg Pak wrote his pants off in 2009. Did he? I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Jeff Johns would make his her year?
Everyone,
year
dude. Sorry, Raph.
Past 4 years ago. If Ian putting two cop outs doesn't happen in 2010, I'll eat my hat. Seriously, I'll eat my hat.
Cop out.
All right, best company, DC. Wow, these guys are DC flavored.
Yeah, they are.
Of course,
well,
geez, dressed up like
what?
Superman.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why. They were consistently good across all of their line. Not everything sparkled, but Green Lantern, Blackest Night, Superman, Wonk, Detective Comics, Fables, and Unwritten were small examples of Jim DC put out.
Wonk.
World of New Krypton.
Yeah,
I disagree with that. I got. Not so great. Worst company, Blue Water.
Yes.
I think the guys who did the O.J. Simpson comic, Frank Rincon, founded CGS 300, now operate Blue Water. They do badly written edutainment comics that even milk the death of Michael Jackson and the popularity of Twilight. They also exploit South American artists and don't pay them. Blue Water needs to go bankrupt yesterday. Despicable. Best OGN, A Serious Polyp. Unconventional book to challenge you with its design, characters, and plot. Mazzucchelli, a genius. Comic-related media, Arkham Asylum. I spent 10 minutes stalking bad guys the first time I hopped onto the gargoyles. I love making henchmen pee-pee themselves. Boom, boom. That's about it. Hopefully Ian puts out a cop-out review of Absolute Justice on here so I don't have to eat my hat.
And I might be. All right. And by the way, rebuttal from Ziggo. Being the last comment on here in response to the Spider-Man team of writers. I don't mean to troll or anything, but that was hinted since the end of One More Day. Carefully read the dialogue between Mephisto. We're going to be dealing with him again, and we still never knew what was the deal Mary Jane made with him. We can guess, and I'm sure have a good idea, but still don't know exactly what. And that's from Ziggo right there, and that's exactly how I feel about that myself. So we shall see. We shall see. All right, fellas. I think that's basically all we can say about this right here, unless you got in the OGNs that you read, but I doubt it.
Mm-mm.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
Ready for bed.
All right, cool. Same here. It's 105. Before we wrap things up, Mr. Gallo, can we hear your voice anywhere else these days, or are you just running solo?
I'm just running solo. I'm just chilling, relaxing, listening to everybody else's podcast. And reading more. I'm actually caught up, which is amazing because 2009 was the year for me to catch up because my to read pile was pretty tall.
Yeah, what mine is right now, Jesus.
It was the size of my nephew. I'm not joking.
How tall is your nephew?
Well, he's a little five-year-old kid, so you can, you know, but it was a pretty bad pile. It got to the point where I was reading and then having to reread books because it's been so long since I've read them, I have to dig through the old piles to try to find out what I read 6 months ago.
Well, I didn't know your middle name was Adam Murdo.
Yeah. Except I don't have the chops.
Right. All right, so I guess I'll consider this a Chris Gallo exclusive then, considering that you're not really on too many podcasts these days.
That's right.
Sweet. And Mr. Cassina, you still got BK's Bullets going. I am shocked. I am amazed.
Yes, yes. We had two new ones, and we got two new ones that will be out before this episode, Paul Dini on Detective, as well as Booster Gold.
Awesome. I'm all over the place myself these days. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, it was syndicated on the Comic Timing feed, but Geeks Unite, their 3-year anniversary episode, I was on that.
There's one person on that show.
Yeah, I know. But a certain man is going to be returning to Geeks Unite in the next week or so.
Wrath?
No, he's there already.
Oh, he's so inconsistent with his episodes. I just figure every episode is his return.
Hint. Snap.
Ooh,
hint.
Burn.
Hint. He's a fat Hispanic man.
Jorge Garcia.
Danny.
What? Juan's back.
Woo-hoo.
Check it out. I don't know how long he's going to be back, but he's back for at least one episode. And I might have just spoiled the surprise, but who fucking cares? So go check it out. And you can check me out on the PKD Media Black Box, the last two episodes that came out. I'm on that, and like one before that as well. And I might be on Ange's podcast next week, I believe, because she's recording on Sunday, and if I'm around, I might be on that. So I'm all over the place, and if only I would actually be on my own show. All right.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, but the important thing is that we're back to a somewhat regular release schedule, and you're going to have about at least four episodes of one sort or another out this month, so that's not too bad, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, fellas. Well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com, and make sure to check them out. A whole bunch of new members in the Comics Podcast Network over the past couple of weeks. So check out everyone who is there, including the PKD Media Black Box, who are the brand spanking new members. So congratulations to Sean Pryor on that. We're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That'll be graciously appreciated. And who gives a shit about Podcast Alley anymore? So for Brent Cassina, I am Ian Levenstein, and for Mr. Gallo, try to make it a little bit more often here, buddy. All right? All right? All right?
All right.
Okay, good. Good, because last time you were on was 67, and this is 102. All right? That's almost 40 episodes right there. That's ridiculous.
And how much was before the first one?
67.
Yeah. Nah, you were on a couple before that anyway. But and as always, there's always time for comics. Doom Patrol sucks. Okie doke.
We're good?
Yeah, we're good. Brent, you still there?
Yep.
Awesome. All right, cool. In fact, you sound better now, so maybe the Ethernet kicked in.
Okay.
All right, okay. All right, yeah, so just keep the, keep the questions tab open on the comic timing thing, and I know you probably haven't read all the books that that we reviewed, Chris, but if there are any standouts you want to mention when we get to that section, you can go ahead. If not,
sure,
then Brent and I'll just go off on things, and Brent will talk about just how much he hated Akihabara Deep. Okay.
No.
All right, counting down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Actually, wait, hold on. Who's editing this episode, Brent? You or me? You want me to do it?
How long can you get it out?
If I start, I can probably get it out by end of next week.
I'll do it. I got Monday off, so.
All right, cool. That works. Yeah, no, because Chris is coming into town, so she'll be here from Thursday until Monday. So I'll be occupied. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'll do it on Monday. Just put it on the server.
Yeah. Okay.
Like normal, and then I'll download it from there when I get back into town.
Awesome. Okay. All right. In that case, I'll put an opening on this one also. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. that was fun, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. That was.
Nice.
Very good episode.
Awesome. Awesome. Totally back in the swing of things.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Woo.
It's changing location. It's gotten you pumped.
Man, no. To be completely honest, you guys just boosted my my mood by like 7 or 8 levels. What are you doing?
Fist bump. Come on, do your fist pump.
Raising the roof. I'm raising the roof right here. Raise.
Shopping cart. Stir the pot.
Oh,
lawnmower.
Shit.
Lawnmore.
If you start mashing potatoes, we're done. Oh my God. Wow. We've gotten to Mr. Fantastic's penis level right now.
That's classic. New classic. Mint that motherfucker right there.
I'm flashbacks to Mallrats there.
Reed Richards is elastic and Sue conveyed for sight. That's all I gotta say. All right, Chris. Yeah, like I said, man, don't be a stranger. All right.
All right, no problem. All right, guys. You guys have a good night.
All right, same to you. And Brent, enjoy the rest of your San Diego experience.
I will do my best.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, good night.
All right.